about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just kind of pinch the tip. It'll split, and you peel it out like that.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
Looks like one of those glass things that you pick up and you turn it upside down and then it goes.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Dave, we're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you.
I'm in love with Kristen Bell. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now.
And now.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Our feature presentation.
Remember when she used to come on our show?
Yeah, that was nice.
She'd have stuff to promote, and she'd just call in, come in every once in a while.
She's
and
so cool.
Chat.
Dave creeped her out with the salt and pepper shakers and some of the other creepy stalker-like behavior. I think she finally started saying, well, I'm kind of encouraging him at this point. It's best to leave that station out of the rotation.
And nobody would know that kind of behavior more than me.
Because it never happens to me, but it's easy to see when it happens to somebody else. But yeah.
He did have salt and pepper shakers made at Dave was salt, I think, and she was pepper. I don't know. But that would run anyone off, I think.
Yeah.
And I miss her, and I love her, and I wish Dave hadn't done that. I wish he hadn't burned that Kristen Bell bridge.
Well, we all do, but what are you going to do?
It's a fun party game if you ever meet the King of Mexico because you know he has so much trouble with his vowels. Get him to say Kristen Bell and Christian Bale back to back and see if you can tell which one he's saying at which time.
Yeah, it's bizarre because he'll say Kristen Bell and then he'll say Christian Bell. So he can say them both. He just reverses them.
Right, exactly. It's very funny. Anyway, welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. No beverages near Kevin today. Can we make that?
Yes, we can.
There was a little explosion yesterday. That's all.
All over the floor. All over your computer.
All right. Okay. New pair of headphones. All right. I got it.
And then Kevin just looks at it and goes, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, it was a bottle of Diet Coke and it hit the ground and once it was just exploding.
Yeah.
You can't even get a hold of it.
Good times.
I threw beer mug on top of it.
As you should.
It was clearly beer mug's fault anyway.
Right.
Here's how this story begins. You tell me what happens next, all right?
Okay.
Wisconsin man walks into a gas station to buy his lottery ticket like he do, and he plays the Powerball every week. That's his game. Well, for some reason, he chose his numbers, went to the counter, and they put his numbers on a Megabucks ticket instead.
Okay.
So he didn't get the Powerball ticket that he was trying to buy with those numbers. He got a game he doesn't play, the Megabucks. He leaves the store 3 days later. What happens?
He wins. Does he win?
What do you think, Lisa?
Does he win? I see. I know the story.
Oh, you do?
Okay.
The other game would have won if he played it?
That would be the obvious choice. What he always plays wins, but he didn't win
he
because.
Didn't get it, right.
Right.
And now there's a big lawsuit. Right. And that's exactly what I would expect to happen, too, because that's usually how these things go. Now he's suing the store and suing the state and everybody else because he tried to buy the ticket and they gave him the wrong one.
Right.
No, you were right, Kevin. The Megabucks ticket that he didn't mean to buy, in fact, did win $14.3 million.
Wow.
God wanted him to have that money.
No kidding. He share some of it with the dude that made the mistake?
Yeah.
It's funny. It says here in the article, had it not been for the workers at the mobile gas station there in Madison asking him if he had won, he may have even missed out on collecting his winnings. He hadn't even checked the ticket because he thought all that time he had a Powerball ticket.
Oh.
So he didn't know that he had won. So anyway, he claimed his prize. He took the lump sum payment of $10.2 million. And this is what really makes it a remarkable story. His first purchase is not going to be a brand new car or a big house or anything like that. Turns out he's a veteran who has been on dialysis for 5 years.
Wow.
He's going to use some of the money to buy health insurance so he can get a kidney transplant.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
God really did want him to have this money. That's a great story.
Apparently, this is a trend, by the way. In November, a guy accidentally ran up an extra Powerball lottery ticket for a man And that was the winning ticket, and he won $1 million on that ticket. Guy, you know, went in to buy, you know, five and ended up with six or something like that.
Right. It.
And then a few months ago, we even talked about this story, by the way. It was the reverse of this story. A woman was handed a Powerball ticket instead of a Mega Millions ticket, and it ended up winning $25 million. So apparently wrong lottery tickets are the way to go.
So what do you do? How do we do that? You just go in and go, I'd like a wrong lottery ticket?
It sounds like what Lisa says is that God has to be on your side. God has to be pulling some strings there to make something like that happen.
You have to be Tim Tebow to win.
But imagine, I mean, you win and, hey, I want a kidney. Dude, wow. Good luck with that.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, I hope you get one.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe you can just buy one?
On the black market at that point.
With that kind of cash.
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, happy story for those who think that it's always bad news first thing in the morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It almost always is.
It's a happy story to start
out with.
That's
a great story. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I am currently trying to conceal a massive erection.
I don't blame you. Comedian Jay Moore in the studio.
Yes.
He's very sexy.
Funny as hell. He's going to be at the Bray Improv. We're going to talk to him. You have to continue working with your ex. Maybe you met at work and started dating and then you broke up, but you still have the same job. Mm-hmm. So now you have to continue to work with your ex. That seems bad.
Well, look at, David King of Mexico and Lisa May. They still are able to come in and be civil with each other every single day.
Look at Ralph and Lisa May.
Sure. Look at all of you and me.
Look at me and Lisa May.
Look at Doc, our newsman, and Lisa May.
All right, now I'm drawing the line.
look at Muggs and Lisa. I mean, it's difficult.
I'm a good ex-girlfriend.
That's correct.
Look at
Chip, our phone screener, right. And Lisa May. Yes, they still manage to get along and play nice.
Ralph's got a rant today. Ralph's rant. Something having to do with Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies are the best.
Girl Scout.
And it's not about the cookies. It's about, I think it's about the parental involvement. We'll let him explain things to you.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's got the very definite rules that he would like to follow. And he would like everybody else to understand that. And we also have Sugar Rashad Evans on the program today. Of course, is going to be on UFC on Fox this weekend. So we're very excited to talk to him. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey.
That does need it right there. That's true.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 10 minutes till 6.
Ralph, you watch your Southland last
night? No! God, it's so good.
I taped it. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
I'll just tell you one thing.
All right.
Grambo. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Rambo.
Rambo.
Nice.
And I'll spoil one thing that's not integral to the part. It's 15 seconds of the show. But how long do you have to be a police officer in Los Angeles? How many years on the job do you have to be on the streets to see a guy running down the street on fire?
Yes.
Does that ever happen?
It does happen.
Really?
Not a lot, I'm guessing.
But I hope those guys deserve that kind of excitement. For what?
How long do you have to wait to see a guy jogging naked down a residential street?
Those guys have more happen in a day than most officers have happen in a career, right?
Well, they said last week, not the last night's episode, but last week, they said the worst day of your life to a Los Angeles police officer is called Wednesday.
Yeah.
To them. And they just, it's nonstop.
It's nonstop. It's crazy.
S-storm. Just all day long. Even the best days are just an S-storm.
I'm sure it's a hyper S-storm because it's TV, too, though. Don't you think? I mean,
I think they're exaggerating for dramatic effect. Absolutely.
Well, of course. But I also think that it is not that much of an exaggeration.
Wow.
I think the average day in the street for the average policeman, especially in a big city like Los Angeles or New York, is just filled with, even on your best days, it's just encounter after encounter with the drunk, the angry, the violent, the drugged out, the stupid. It's just, must be just an endless parade of human garbage.
It is a miracle that there are any police officers that don't hate all of humanity.
Yeah.
Most of them do get calloused towards the average person.
I don't doubt it.
They say they develop a real us versus them mentality. It's like the other cops, and then it's just them. Because you just start to close ranks.
But we're not like down.
You can only... they can't differentiate anymore.
Well, I know, but we're out here.
I hear you, but you can understand why they just start to homogenize and make everybody part of the same problem.
It's like we're trying to argue, I know we're all roaches, but we're the good roaches. I mean, basically, from their perspective, that's what it's like. Is there, they just don't encounter very many positive experiences, I don't think.
Grandma's no joke. That's all I know.
Grandma is no joke.
Grandma's
that's for
no
sure.
Joke.
Anyway, we're talking about Southland, if you want to... track that down. It's on TNT. Great show. It's 5:51, I'll say, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new program. What's going on?
I'll say it's 5:52. How about that?
All right.
I'll raise you a minute.
I'll accept that.
I can go no further.
Can't fly 52.
Last night, Demi Moore was sped to a hospital here in Los Angeles. Late night call brought paramedics to her Los Angeles home.
That isn't good for you.
TMZ reports that she is receiving treatment for substance abuse.
Oh.
Not dehydration and exhaustion?
Well, if you'll just hold on, hold your water for a second.
Okay.
Her representative says, TMZ and medical sources say she's being treated for substance abuse and is going into a facility after she leaves the hospital in order to deal with this.
Right.
Her representative released this statement. She's being treated for exhaustion. Because of the stresses in her life right now, Demi has chosen to seek professional assistance to treat her exhaustion and improve her overall health.
Is she working full-time on something?
No.
Not aware of?
No, she's partying a lot. By all accounts, she's looking for her next boy toy.
Sure.
But not working as we speak. Hmm. She was supposed to play Gloria Steinem in the upcoming movie about Linda Lovelace, and I don't believe she's shot that yet. But really? Do you have to go to a hospital and then to another clinic to treat your exhaustion?
No.
Don't you treat that with a vacation? Don't you treat that with a spa trip or a cruise or some time in Bora Bora, in one of those huts on the pylons out there by the water?
It does seem like you could self-treat that.
Or, if that's too much, just go home, crawl into your bed, and lower the shades.
New York Daily News says she'll enter rehab after her hospital stay. Initial diagnosis, according to some doctors, is a Botox overdose. That's
really
a bad deal. Yeah, you don't want to
mention
that. Look, though, if you had just broken up with Ashton Kutcher, wouldn't you party your ass off, too? Wouldn't you just celebrate?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so I think she's just partying too hard, that's all. Exhaustion.
I'm sorry to hear that. I like
her
more. I like her.
Stop it, representatives who tell us that everyone's suffering from exhaustion.
No matter what it is.
Heart
attack. Exhaustion.
They come up with something else.
Dehydration.
They do. They give us those too. But can't they give something that we could actually believe?
Yeah, give us Legionnaire's disease or something. Right. Give us feasible.
Give us lupus. Works on house every week.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage?
Great question, beer mug.
Give us a lie that we can actually just feel good about ourselves believing in.
Ringworm. I don't care. Just something.
Instead of making us. Sounds like you just think we're dumb. And we're just not dumb.
Well, some of us are.
Yes, but we're not that dumb.
Not all of us.
Sad, sad news. The world has lost a legend.
Uh-oh.
Dick Tuffold has passed away.
Oh, no!
No!
Not Dick Tuffold!
Dick's gone.
Oh!
Say goodbye to Dick.
He was
the best
Dick.
No more Dick.
Wow.
Dick Tufeld was the big voiceover announcer and TV guy, but he'll mainly be remembered as the voice of the robot on Lost in Space.
Oh.
Yeah. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. Dr. Smith, I do not like you. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. I guess there was danger, because now he's dead.
Don't remember that.
Yeah.
He was 85 years old.
So a mere 50 years after he filmed the show and said, danger, danger, he died?
Why you got to be like that, man?
I'm just saying, you're right. There was danger. It's just slow moving.
It's pretty slow moving
really
danger.
Slow danger.
He didn't say, fast danger, Will Robinson, fast danger is coming. He just saw it well into the future. Hey, Kristen Cavallari's going to have a baby.
That's unfortunate.
The daddy is Jay Cutler. I mean, the kid will throw a lot of interceptions, I guess. It's genetic. A lot of hardcore followers on Twitter are accusing him of not doing right by Kristen. Her fans, I guess, are tweeting him. He tweeted back, for the record, I never broke up with Kristen. And I find it unfortunate that some people are saying hurtful things during such a joyous moment in our life. Her representative, Chris, says Kristen is being treated for exhaustion. She's not pregnant.
Is that right?
Wow. So they're together now or not together?
They are together now, apparently.
They are together, okay. Yes, and have a baby.
Going to have a baby. Mel Gibson had a bean day this week.
Great. What's a bean day?
Got jury duty.
Ah.
And went.
So lucky.
Some people, Kevin, go to jury duty.
Why?
Even the big celebs realize it's their civic duty to go and serve on a jury.
Because you get to send someone to prison. That's why you go, Kevin. You would love that.
Mel showed up trying to be incognito, wearing a baseball cap and a dark sports coat and sunglasses. But a few diehard fans saw through his costume, and Mel was kind enough to take pictures with them. He was easy to spot, actually. He was the one who, when asked by the judge, said he would only convict a defendant if they were Jewish. So. It's like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. I know you.
I love jury duty, too. You don't think I don't. I just...
Yes.
Sometimes I don't have time.
And TV news.
Mel Gibson has time. Kevin doesn't have time, Ralph.
TV news. Networks are starting to talk about the new programming they're going to be putting on this year. CW has announced First Cut. It's a medical drama. Oh, finally, we get to see a medical drama on television.
That is good news.
Why have they ignored this profession, this dramatic profession, for so long? It's a story of a young female doctor just out of med school. That finding out that her first hospital job is sadly just like returning to her high school years. First Cut.
Is that Grey's Anatomy? I mean, that's what that show sounds like.
Yeah, it's also Scrubs. And it's also... Yeah. And now we've got dueling remakes of Beauty and the Beast. The CW is remaking the 80s series with Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman, which was a modern telling of Beauty and the Beast, where he lived in the sewers. Remember?
That was a series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, ABC has announced they are doing their Beauty and the Beast. They say it'll be nothing like the CW Beauty and the Beast, because this one will be set in a fantasy world.
Ah.
See? So you got a Beauty and the Beast in a fantasy world, and they got Beauty and the Beast in a real world. Very, very different.
Very different.
I wonder if they will both involve beauties and or beasts, however.
I'm guessing yes.
Yes. And, this story broke my heart. Broke my heart when I read it. Star Trek fan Tony Alleny spent 10 years turning his condo into an exact replica of the interior of the bridge of the Enterprise.
Right.
Now he's getting a divorce. He and his wife are getting a divorce. How dare you, Lisa May?
Why as well?
And his ex is forcing him to sell the condo. So he's got to take down all the Star Trek stuff from inside the condo so they can sell it. Hey, hey, Anderson Cooper, you stop it. You stop it.
Come on.
Poor Tony. Tony has to gut the inside of his condo, take down the replica of the Enterprise inside so they can sell it. To say I'm gutted is an understatement, he said. Stop it, Anderson. It is my life's work.
What a dork.
He writes.
My life's work.
My life's work.
Yes, 10 years.
If you make it worse, dude.
Making it an exact replica of the Enterprise.
He's lucky.
That's not easy. That's hard.
He's lucky he ever had a woman in the first place.
This is why God never intended Star Trek fans to have wives.
What an idiot.
It's this kind of stuff that keeps the geeks single. Because women just don't understand. Today's celebrity birthdays. Terry Chimes of The Clash is 57 years old today. Actress Mia Kirshner celebrates her 37th birthday. Alicia Keys is 31. Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty turns 41 years old today. And Michael Trevino plays Tyler on The Vampire Diaries. He's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What's Ralph's problem with the Girl Scout cookies? We'll talk to him coming up in a few minutes. Plus, Sugar Rashad Evans talking about UFC on Fox this weekend. That's all straight ahead here on The Kevin and Bean Show. I couldn't have been more excited, Kevin. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. The Bob Dylan tribute album came out yesterday.
It's that's going to be so great. Oh, wait, that sucks.
It's phenomenal. First of all, Bob Dylan, greatest songwriter of all time. Second of all, even you, Kevin, would love this album. Nope. It has everybody from Bad Religion to My Chemical Romance to Rise Against to Queens of the Stone Age. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
Are they singing their own songs?
Better. They're singing Bob Dylan songs.
Yeah, no.
And it is a charity album, 76 songs. Charity album for Amnesty International. And what a tribute to Bob and what a tribute to that organization that he's worked hard for over the years as well. And we thought, man, this is worth a conversation with the legend himself. The great Bob Dylan joins us here on the Kevin Hogan Show.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey,
good morning.
Kevin,
how are you?
We're good. Well,
doing fine.
I'm sailing.
I'm
You're
not
sailing?
Sure what you...
Did he say he was sailing?
No. I did. I couldn't catch it.
All right. No.
Okay.
Guess again. You...
I don't think we have a clue.
No, I have the sound. When you tune, the sound phones get violent.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about the album, though? I mean, that's what we kind of called you about, is this Amnesty International tribute album, right?
Yes, Reliner has unveiled on the political stand on Daniel Starr.
You were saying the Silver Sun pickups and Airborne Toxic Event are on it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that.
Yeah, it's quite an honor, Bob. What's it like hearing all those people do your songs?
Oh, it's great to have everybody doing the songs. And I count to pretend favor.
What?
I mean, I have the new album myself.
You have a new album yourself, too?
Yeah, I'm so happy about it. All the people are going to put the songs, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to get right back to them.
I think okay, I heard so that. You, I think I heard that. I think
what's he talking about?
He's so honored that this many people are doing his songs that he's going to turn it around. Am I right so far, Bob?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And do covers of their songs.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job, Kevin.
I speak Bob.
My new album, Covering in the Wind.
in the Wind.
Yeah. The answer, my friend, is Covering in the Wind.
Yeah.
Well, my album is Covering in the Wind.
People don't usually go to you to hear interpretations of other people's songs, but I'm willing to give it a try. I mean, you've always mixed it up. What kinds of songs are you doing?
I sent a sample over there, and you know, there's fun still in the air.
Send a sampler. Mugs?
Yeah, I got
track one?
Yeah.
This is a Bad Romance.
Lady Gaga.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Here's Bob Dylan. Bob.
No, you're aren't you like 70 years old or something?
Yeah.
You don't need to be singing Lady Gaga, songs. No.
All right, what's the next track that we have here, Bob?
Justin Bieber.
Justin
Uh-oh.
Bieber.
Yeah.
The great Bob Dylan singing Justin Bieber. Hey, baby, baby, oh, like me. To write actual songs?
Yeah.
Can you not pronounce any consonants anymore, Bob? What's happening?
Oh, what do you say then?
Well, let me hear you say the word baby, like in that song. It's baby,
a
B.
Yeah, that's baby. It.
Baby. No, you're saying ain't. You're saying ain't.
Baby.
No, baby.
Baby.
All right, what's the next, song here, Bob?
All right, never mind. What's
the next song? Baby.
Katy Perry?
Yeah, I love Katy Perry.
Oh, this should be good.
Sure.
You hate me, me like I'm living in a he ain't me. The way you turn me on, I can't sleep. Let's run and don't ever look back, don't ever look back.
You're not committed to releasing this yet, right?
This could
go away, couldn't it, Bob?
You haven't given this to the record company or anything yet, right?
Oh, it's done.
What?
Oh, no.
It's my tribute to country music.
A tribute to country music. Interesting.
Into the good. Hey, who you love. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so woke up. I lift you up, routine the party. Routine the party. Yeah, now that's a song.
That is appropriate because you sound very, very drug, so I can see why you're doing that one.
And then this is the greatest song ever I did. Then finally got them.
What? Did you say greatest song ever?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Lily leans on to the tip around dead on the lake they call Gitchigumi. Lake in his head never gives up a day when the skies in November turn gloomy.
Wow.
Roll around on the city top zone and the island is gentle when in here.
That's not even trying, Bob.
came early.
You're not looking at any lyrics when you're singing that, are you?
Lyrics. I couldn't learn that.
The hilarious Jay Moore joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, don't forget, we are qualifying you to go to Australia, which is a continent, by the way.
Oi!
Not just a country.
Oi!
And you get to see Incubus while you're there, plus win a surfboard. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, glad to see you. I know that I know that's a tense time of year for you when the Girl Scout cookies start getting peddled around. But in particular, you seem upset by it this year. What's going on?
Listen.
Do I need a Ralph Red intro?
You want to? Feel free if
I
you
mean,
want
to. It sounds like you're about to.
I feel a Randa brewing.
One man. One quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
What's going on, Ralph?
I'd like to change the name of this segment to the Ralph Knight Rises.
Then you got to talk like this. That's right. Let me tell you what's wrong with that.
All right, listen, people. The Girl Scout cookies, it's that time of year again.
Are great.
They're great.
Most wonderful time of the year because Girl Scout cookies are the best cookies there are, and they help little girls.
Except for the thank you, Berry Munch. I love the Girl Scout cookies, okay? And by the way, Girl Scouts of America don't need any more flavors. We're good. This newly added Dolce de Leche and the thank you, Berry Munch. We're good. We're good with the Dosey
Dose. What about the new Savannah Smiles, the new porn actress?
No, we don't need Savannah Smiles either. Great time of year, great cookies, okay? And also, I want to preface this by saying I am the father of a baby girl. I get it. I get why you'll do anything for your kids. You love your daughters. You want to make them happy. I get all of that.
What's the problem?
I want to buy the Girl Scout cookies from the Girl Scouts.
Okay.
I don't want to buy it from her dad. This is the time of year when people start sending out emails. Hey, come to the break room because I need to sell 400 boxes of cookies for my little kid so that she can go on the aqua cruise off of Catalina in the glass bottom boat. Listen, I don't give an F what your kid's trying to win. I am not buying Girl Scout cookies from a 47-year-old man in the break room. I'm not doing it. This is the point of the Girl Scout cookies. The reason they make the Girl Scouts sell the cookies are, one, to raise money for the Girl Scouts. I get that. But also, you're supposed to teach them something about business, about self-reliance, about putting themselves out there, interacting with other people, getting some salesmanship skills. This is supposed to be an exercise that's supposed to help the girl. She's not being helped when you are sending out a mass email to everyone in your office building saying, hey, just write down what you want, and then we'll deliver them next month when the shipment comes in.
So the daughter does nothing.
Your fat little girl sitting on her ass on the couch not doing anything about the Girl Scout cookie sales. What is she garnering from this experience if you're out there pimping out her Girl Scout cookies?
All right. Now, let me ask you this question, Rob. I don't disagree with you at all, but just to play devil's advocate here, adults tend to, if the goal of the Girl Scout cookies is to raise money from selling them, adults tend to know way more people than kids do, and they're way better connected, and they have the facility to sell a lot more cookies. I mean, ultimately, doesn't that benefit the Girl Scouts by having the parents sell them?
I would rather you come to me and say, could you make a donation to the Girl Scouts? Could you write me a check? Than to have these dads go around pretending to be Girl Scouts selling their wares.
Well, I don't think they're pretending to be Girl Scouts.
They dress up. They dress up with their hairy, fat legs, walking the halls of the office building with a little beret on, trying to get you to buy cookies. This destroys the entire premise of the experience of the Girl Scout cookies. I'm not buying it from any guy who comes to me and says he's selling cookies for his daughter so she can win the incentive program, whatever it is that they, whether it's a stripper camp or whatever they're sending.
I think they go to stripper camp.
I'm telling you, when the Girl Scout comes to my door and knocks. Now, if you want to be a good dad, drive your kid around the neighborhood. Okay. Walk up to the door with her. Help her learn how to do this, how to interact with people, how to make her sales pitch, how to sell the cookies. When they come to my door, I'm buying everything they got.
They look up at you and you say, you're a Girl Scout, I will buy your cookies.
That's right. You're an adorable little Girl Scout in your uniform and you're selling your cookies and I got it and I'm supporting your troop. Put me down for 20 boxes of Thin Mints.
Even if Dad's there.
Especially if Dad's there.
Dad
I love to
needs
see
to be there now.
The two of them working together. Dad's supporting her, but he is actually supporting her in the intent of what this whole procedure was meant to do, which is to teach the kid something as well as raise a little something for the Girl Scouts of America. And here's the thing. It's the incentives. That's what's skewed this whole thing. That's what's ruined all of this. It's like the lobbies with politics. It's like this has skewed everything because now the incentive program is, oh, well, if my troop sells 4 billion boxes of Girl Scout cookies, they get to go to the meth lab capital of the world. I don't care what the incentive program is. I understand why the
incentive programs are for all sales departments.
That's
usually
what I'm saying. This is another part of the experience. This is teaching your child something important, an important life lesson about how to interact with people, how to sell, how to be responsible for people when they place their orders. You accept the money. You got to be responsible for the money. You have to be responsible for delivering the cookies. It's there for a reason.
So this is really just like a parent doing the kid's homework and then wondering why the kid can't add, right?
It's worse. it's worse, Bean, because it involves cookies.
That's true.
And Kevin, anytime you tarnish the experience of a cookie, Jesus Christ.
Kevin, how did you, did your girls go through Girl Scouts?
No, they did not, no.
Oh, so you didn't have to deal with it.
Didn't have to deal with it.
I mean, yeah. I certainly went door-to-door, but I know people are afraid to let their kids do that now.
Then follow, go with your
go
kids.
With them. Go with them. Or they park, what about if, when they park them at a table in front of a store?
Yeah, as, what about like Ralph's?
Okay? As long as the girls are there at the table and they are selling the cookies, I could not be 100% more behind this enterprise.
What so if the dad brings the kid to the break room with the cookies?
That's fine.
I'm just asking. I want to figure this out.
If the dad brings the child,
right,
goes from office to office in the building, and lets the kid do the talking and do the selling, I'm fine with that.
But if dad says, hey, my daughter here is selling cookies, you're out. You're like, no. Or the dad's doing the talking.
No, yeah. Right. He's not. I'm not buying anything from him. I'm not, and I'm certainly not biting on your mass emails, by the way. When you send it out to every department, hey, it's that time of year again. Brenda's looking to sell cookies. How many can I put you down for? You can put me down for this right here. What I'm grabbing right here. This is what you can put me down for.
I see what you're pointing at, Ralph. I don't know how to translate.
This is my order right here. I'll take two bags.
I don't know
right
how to
here.
Put you down for that.
Yeah. That's some BS, because then you know what you are? Then you're the pimp. Then you're daddy pimp. That's what you are.
Wow.
You're pimping your kid out.
This is a this is an outstanding lesson, as it is that Girl Scout cookie time of year for people listening.
No one
right
buy
now.
From the parents. I'm saying it right now.
What if the two girls are sitting out in front of Ralph's and there's a mom there and the mom engages you?
No.
Nope.
I don't want to hear from any adults when it comes to these cookies. I want to see adorable, fresh-faced, little cherub-cheeked girls in berets and sashes with badges on them saying, sir, would you like to buy some cookies today? And then I say, yes, I would. Give me everything you got. And get your mother out of my face. That's what I say to her.
Ralph is a purist, man. That's what we're learning
here today. What if the mother's
hot? It's right and wrong. It's just what? Did you pick a side, people?
Either you're with us or you're against
us. That's right.
This is UFC Kevin Gunn Show. Sorry.
You were going to say
no,
something
No, you go.
Else.
Go ahead.
UFC on Fox 2 is happening this Saturday night. Very excited. Great, great bill. We're talking to some of the fighters tomorrow. One of them coming up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. Sugar Rashad Evans joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
A lot of support. We're going to bring down the cookie machine.
Oh, are you hearing from people who agree with you?
Oh,
your policy?
Yeah. Look, everyone has to deal with this in their
That's
workplace.
True.
It's just become so commonplace now. One person sent me the letter that they got, the email they got at their office. And the guy's like, I'm putting the sign-up sheet up on the, taping it to the door of the break room. Just fill out everything you need there. He's not even being bothered with going around taking orders from people. He's making you go there and do it yourself.
You come to me if you want cookies.
That's what he's saying. Well, we're rising up. We won't stand for it any longer.
I like it.
Remember producer Frank here used to badger everybody for Girl Scout cookies?
Did he? Really?
He was obsessed with it. Oh, my God. Guests, visitors.
No.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Wait out in the lobby. Oh, yeah. He would hound you, man. He was like the worst panhandler out in front of a 7-Eleven in Santa Monica you've ever seen when he was pushing Girl Scout cookies.
Like, we have Jay Moore in later today. He would get an order from Jay Moore.
Oh, come on.
You go, yeah, you go, hey, stop that.
And then he'd pocket the money, right? He wouldn't even give it to the Girl Scouts. Yeah. He would just take the money and run.
Yeah, you know Frank.
Yeah. Kristen Bell's in the news. She's just adorable.
She sure is.
She's super hot on that House of Lies, by the way.
Yeah, brand new series, House of Lies.
Love it.
With Don Cheadle, yeah. She's interviewed in Flaunt magazine. I don't know if you're familiar with Flaunt or not, but you should get familiar with it, because in her new pictorial for that interview, she's dressed all in black PVC, that shiny black plastic. Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very sexy sort of S&M kind of look for Kristen. And she's such a down-to-earth, cool person. She says in the interview that... where she has to talk about herself for 2 hours in an interview like the one she's doing, she finds it effing nauseating, she says, because she's just a hillbilly at heart, like her fiancé, Dax Shepard. Haven't they been engaged for about 14 years now?
They've been together a while. Yeah. Yeah.
She also says that although a lot of young stars like to blow through their money, they have saved up almost everything they've earned careers, just in case it all comes to a halt. So,
and it doesn't cost much to be a hillbilly.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
you can pull all your teeth out.
You don't need dental care.
Just drink moonshine. Eat beans out of a can. S'mores. She's got 6 movies set for release in the next year.
Wow.
Fortunately, one of them is that whale movie with Drew Barrymore. But the other ones are probably good.
Sure.
These whales are scared. And they can't get out of the ice. It's
says Drew Barrymore.
But you can't do anything about it, honey.
Oh, watch me. Everyone in town, let's go chop ice.
I'm a reporter watching this town chop ice. I'm moved to tears.
It really
the whole
does.
Movie. You'll need to see the rest of it.
It looks like a parody.
Is Jennifer Aniston pregnant? That's the rumor.
Oh, I hope not.
She and her boyfriend Justin Throw are expecting a baby. Here's the worst part. He's walked out.
Oh, you're kidding.
She's pregnant.
Amazing.
Pregnant and alone.
Poor Jen.
I don't know. At this
I'd
point,
get Ross back if I were her.
At this point, you got to go, really, Jen?
It's on you.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you can't keep a
can't
man.
Can't keep a man.
Something's up with you.
Come on now.
She's always said she wouldn't mind being a single mother, and looks like she may get her wish. So we'll have to wait and see. Of course, this is all hearsay and rumors, but...
Yeah, I mean, she's been speculated to be pregnant here. Dozens of times already.
Yeah, but this time, it's for real. And what do you do when you don't... When you got a best friend, okay?
Okay.
And your wife and your best friend's wife don't get along. Or let's say your best friend's... Your wife and your best friend's girlfriend don't get along. What do you say? Maybe this best friend goes through a lot of different girlfriends, and your wife is getting just ass tired of having to deal with all these bimbos.
I don't understand the question. What do you do?
Yeah. What do you do? How do you handle that? It makes your relationship, your friendship with your buddy awkward. Just ask Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Word has it that George Clooney and Stacey Keibler and Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt all flew together in a private flight to the Palm Springs Film Festival earlier this month. And it was an awkward ride. Word is that Angie ignored Stacey Keibler, refused to acknowledge her on the plane during the entire trip. Just gave her the cold shoulder.
That sure doesn't sound like her, does it?
It doesn't, except if you're Angelina Jolie and you have been through an endless parade of these women that George Clooney keeps bringing around.
Yeah, like why bother being nice to this one? Yeah. There's going to be another one next time.
Maybe that's
why. By the Oscars, there's going to be a different date.
No,
maybe that's
do
what it comes down to.
A couple years, most of them.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's or maybe Brad was going, damn.
Look at, yeah, it could be.
Give me some of those Keebler cookies. Know what I'm saying?
But when there's only four people, and two of them are, I mean, it really seems like you could just fake it.
I agree.
Fake it for a little bit.
Look, she's got a lot on her mind. She's got rapes in Bosnia and stuff she's dealing with she has to fix and starving children and all.
80 kids.
But I've just been in that situation. I feel the tension as I read the story. I've been in that situation where I've been on double dates with my best buddy, and my girl at the time and his girl at the time just do not get along, and it makes for a bad, bad time.
So George says, hey, I'd like to introduce you to, and she goes,
another one?
Dear God.
That's when you want to get the parachutes out of the back of the plane and just open the door.
They're all supermodels.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's some of that, too. Maybe there's some jealousy, you know, younger, hot woman, former, you know, sex symbol now, maybe starting to get a little older. Maybe she, you know, just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Trevino plays Tyler Lockwood on The Vampire Diaries. He's 27 years old. Today's singer Alicia Keys turns 31. Actress Mia Kirshner is 37 years old. Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty turns 41. And Terry Chimes, drummer of The Clash, turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lakers-Clippers tonight. Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money Show joins us later on today's show. Plus, funny man Jay Moore is coming up next hour, too. You know, this is great timing for this UFC on Fox 2 event on Saturday night, Kevin, because, you know, it's no football this weekend. You just got the Pro Bowl, and who cares, right? It used to be the Pro Bowl was the only thing you had all weekend long. Now, UFC on Fox. How great is that?
Pretty strong.
And what a card it is. Very excited to welcome to the program Sugar Rashad Evans, light heavyweight contender. It's going to be a big, big night for Sugar Saturday night. How are you, man? How's Chicago, by the way?
Chicago's good. Actually, they're going through with the news we'll call a warm spell. So it's about 38 degrees out here.
Woo! Balmy, warm, 38.
So you're doing all your training outside, man, soaking up that sunshine. That must feel great. This is a new thing, this UFC on Fox, since the last time you fought. But how exciting is it that your fight is going to be on for free for everyone all over the place?
It's pretty exciting. You know, it just opens up a whole new demographic, and you know, it gets to show people, you know, what this great sport is really about.
Tell us about Phil Davis and your matchup with him. They say matchups makes fights. How do you match up with him?
We've match up pretty well. We're actually kind of similar. You know, we're both college wrestlers, but he's a more accomplished college wrestler when it comes to accolades and stuff like that. But, you know, he's a young fighter. He doesn't have the experience that I have. And, you know, he's a bigger guy, you know, so he's going to try to impose his will a little bit on me, try to push me against the cage, try to take me down and pretty much use the size on me. But I'm just going to let my hands go and let my hands do the talking and just, you know, show this young buck what the old guy got.
How many times are you surprised? It seems like you study the other fighter that you're going to fight, and you've got trainers, and they watch video and everything else. How many times do you get in the ring and you go, whoa, I was not expecting this?
That happens quite a bit sometimes.
It
actually.
Does.
It happens. And like, if your mind is so caught up on what you thought of the person before the fight,
right,
you can't really get out of that slump. You know, it's like a big momentum swing. And if you're on the other end, as far as like he's a lot better than you thought he was, or he's a lot stronger, or, you know, a position he's better than you at, then you kind of, it can be a wrap for you, that fight, you know, because it's hard to get out of the mindset like, man, this guy's, you know, a lot better than I am. And then you start to just like go into retreat mode.
Yeah. Have you ever walked over to your corner and went, oh, no, this is not at all what I expected was going to happen?
When I fought Tito Ortiz, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah, you'll get him. And, you know, his takedowns are not that good. The first time he took me down, he was so strong, and I couldn't even, like, move. I was looking over at my corner, they're yelling for me to get up. And I'm just so mad. I'm just like, in my eyes, I'm thinking, like, these dudes lied to me, man. This dude is strong, and yeah. I don't know what.
Hey, I would love to get up, but I'm not able to right this second. Speaking of coaches yelling, I did want to ask you this, because when you watch it, on TV, I can hear the coaches yelling at the fighters. And, for example, your opponent's coach is screaming out to telling him what to do. You know, whether it's an uppercut or hit him with the jab or go for the leg or whatever it is. You can hear that as well and see it coming, or no? Are you not paying attention to that at all?
Sometimes you catch a moment where you listen to what the other corner may say. But for the most part, like when you're so caught up in the moment, you just kind of you train yourself to only hear your coaches. So, you know, their voices resonate over anybody else's. So when they say something, you're really listening to what they're saying. And then sometimes you're really not even listening to what they're saying because you're so focused on like what's happening right then, and you're watching your opponent.
Right.
How about the crowd? Oftentimes, you know, there'll be, I don't think that's going to be the case with you guys kind of fighting on neutral territory this weekend, but oftentimes there'll be one fighter who the crowd is way behind. And I always wonder how much the guys in the octagon can even pick up on that in the middle of a fight.
Yeah. Well, I actually live in Chicago too. I live in Chicago.
Oh, so you're golden.
Yeah, but I'll probably still get booed anyway. Sometimes you can pick it up when the crowd is, you know, yelling, but the crowd is so fickle sometimes. It's just like they're always one punch away from, you know, cheering for whoever's winning the fight.
Yes, know? Absolutely right. What has it been like for you? And this is the voice of Sugar Rashad Evans here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about UFC on Fox 2, which happens this Saturday night at 5. Preliminary fights start at 2 on Fuel, and we'll mention the rest of the card here in a minute. But what is it like for you having only fought one time last year? I mean, obviously you've been training hard. I'm sure you feel like you shook off the dust a little bit. But, I mean, it has been a while. Does that play into your head a little bit too?
You know, not really, you know, not really. But, you know, whenever you take some time off, you always want to know, you know, all right, when I get back in there, how am I going to feel? And, you know, did I get rusty and whatnot? And those are always the questions that you have in your mind. But for the most part, the funny thing about it is after you fight, as soon as you fight and get it all over with, a few weeks later, you forget what it was like. And then when you got to fight again, it's just like new. It's like
really?
Brand new. So,
it's almost like starting
yeah,
over. But how are you health-wise?
My health is great, man. I just, you know, been I had a thumb injury after the Tito Ortiz fight. I broke it during the fight. But after that, you know, I healed up, and I had a really good camp, no injuries, so I feel great.
And if you do win, as we hope you do Saturday night, then, you know, the plan is then you fight again for the crown against John Jones, and that's only going to be like in 3 months or something like that. I mean, you'll be back pretty soon. You're almost going to, you know, wake up next week and then start training again.
Yeah, that's the plan. So, but you know, I'm not really worried about it. You know, everybody's talking about the John Jones fight, but it's a fight that right now is just really not. I'm not really thinking about, and it's just because I have a tough opponent in front of me right now. You know, I don't want to start, you know, looking ahead right now, because when you do that, then you have the your tendency to overlook who's in front of you.
Yeah, then you lose to Phil Davis, and then you're like, that fight is not going to happen now. That sucks. What's your relationship What's your relationship with John Jones like now? Are you guys strained friends, enemies?
Nah, we just like nothing.
Nothing.
Nah, I don't really talk to him, and I don't really. I guess, you know, I mean, I guess you can say we're enemies, but I don't really have any ill will towards him. You know, I just don't like him as a person.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't sound like ill will at all, Sugar. That sounds like you guys are pretty tight. All right, last question, because I know you're almost out of time here. You obviously are focused on your own thing Saturday, but are you going to try to catch any of the Shailson and Michael Bisping? Because that's the other, you know, part of the card that people are just so geeked about. I mean, that is an unbelievable lineup that night. Are you excited to see how that one turns out as well?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how that one turns out. You know, when you're backstage, you're always watching the fight before you, because you're just like, you're knowing how much time you have. You know, sometimes you're in the back like thinking, okay, do I got, you know, 10 seconds to warm up, or a minute to warm up, or do I got 15 minutes, you know, because the fight goes the distance.
Right.
So sometimes if you're not really warmed up, you're hoping it goes 15 minutes. But sometimes, you know, it works out that when you're not really warmed up how you could, that's when you got a short amount of time and somebody gets a knockout in 5 minutes. Next thing you know, they're calling you on deck to fight already. So
that's gotta be crazy. Depending on it,
yeah, depending on that night, I hope that I'm already warmed up and don't care when the fight ends.
That's gotta be crazy. It's the only sport that I know of where you actually don't know the start time for your...
you don't, man. They got this guy, his name is Bert Watson, and he's back there, and he says, "All right, baby, time to roll."
And you're like, "Hey, hold on, I'm in the bathroom. I can't, just a second."
Well, whenever you say that, I get sick. I'm like, I think I'm going to be sick.
Well, you sound awfully relaxed right now. Can you imagine, Kevin, if you were going to do what he's going to do on Saturday? Can you imagine what you wouldn't be able to talk right now? You'd be so paralyzed with fear. But this is his job. He sounds like he's ready for it, man. Very, very exciting. UFC on Fox. Again, West Coast time. These fights start at 5, and the preliminary fights start at 2 on Fuel. Sugar, I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you, man. Fingers crossed. Have a great fight this weekend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man.
I'm watching the TV the other day, and they're talking about a new program, an American Idol-style talent singing competition, Kevin, on, I think it's on Univision, in Espanol.
Meaning they're all going to be hot.
They're all going to be hot, yeah. The program is called Que Viva. It debuts this weekend, and it is produced by Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, who have a production company together. Now, they were husband and wife for about 7 years or so, and recently, within the last few months or so, they split up. And they moved on. They have other beaus, and, you know, they got kids together and the whole deal. They're doing these interviews with all these television stations promoting. I mean, they're in the middle of a divorce right now, yet they have this production company together, so they are doing interviews together promoting this new television show that's coming on this weekend. And I was thinking, that can't be fun for them, right? They're still working together even though they're broken up.
Yeah, it certainly seems like you would want to avoid that person.
Like, yeah. But then again, celebrities are better than we are, and they all seem to be best of friends after they break up.
But then when that person starts dating?
And they're both dating. They're both dating. Jennifer Lopez has her backup dancer, and Mark Anthony has been through a series of equally hot younger chicks than J-Lo.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's when it gets really dicey.
That's still happening, and they're working together to promote this show.
And although, they have kids.
They're not judges, though, right, Bean? They're just producers.
Right, they're producers,
so
right.
It's not like they're going to have to do that. What about Michael C. Hall on Dexter? Michael C. Hall was married to his on-screen sister, who's named Jennifer Carpenter. He was married to her for a while, and then they broke up, and now they're not married. But they're still on the TV show, and this year, she's falling in love with him. They're stepbrother, sister. Like, they're not from the same parents.
Are the writers just screwing with them?
I don't know, but she has to act like and play the role of a sister who's her stepbrother. She's literally falling in love with, and they have already broken up as a couple. So that seems extra hard.
Yeah.
So we want to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you have to work with an ex, or you had to work with an ex, and how that went. Here's the scene. Here's one of the scenes from Dexter. And this is when Dexter was gone for like 2 or 3 days, and his sister was super worried about where he was.
You can't keep doing this to me. I've almost lost you twice. I love you.
I love you too.
You do?
Of course I do.
I don't think you've ever said it before.
Yeah, she's hearing a whole different kind of I love you, too. Than
he's not hearing the brother-sister I love you that he's seeing. Yeah, exactly.
He is saying I love you, too, as a sister. He's also a character, if you don't watch Dexter, he's a character that has trouble with feelings as well. Like, he doesn't really love
anyone.
So
he's fond sometimes of people and things.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the same capacity as she does. So, but she's now, at the end of this past season, falling in love with him and talking to her therapist about it. And what do I do? I'm falling in love with him. He's my brother, but he's not we don't have the same parents, so yeah.
Look,
we're not
that's
related.
That's creepy for the characters on the show, but I'm here to tell you that it's also creepy for the real-life actors who are divorced now and
that's
have to show up and work together
saying.
Every day.
She has to put her arms around him and say, I love you, and he has to say, yep. I love you, too.
Well, I think we're going to get a lot of great calls on this because, let's face it, lots of people hook up at work. I mean, that's one of the main ways that people meet people. And the relationships don't always work out. And then you find yourself working together. And now what? Dave put it up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page last night. And we got a tremendous amount of response from people who have been through this. Karen writes in, I dated a guy I worked with for over a year. We split because we were both done with the relationship. He took some time off. My boss did, too, after they both returned a couple of weeks apart. Well, I found out they were on maternity leave together because they had just had a baby. I continued working there for another 6 months. So now she's working with her ex-boyfriend and with his new girlfriend and baby mama. That could have been fun, right?
And that's her boss?
Yes, that's her boss.
Oof.
Katie writes in, I dated my boss and then I broke up with him. And then he, stalker style, scheduled me to always work his exact same shifts. I had to get away from him. Worst idea ever.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on. One story after another. By the way, every single person that responded to us that I've seen on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page was a woman who worked with somebody and then regretted it afterwards.
Because the guys don't regret it.
I guess that's what it is. The guy's just like, yeah, I nailed that chick at work. Right?
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You had to or have to work with an ex, and we will get to your calls right after this.
Well, this is going to be fun. We're talking about you were in a situation where you dated somebody at work, and then you broke up, and now you have to work together. Or I guess it's possible that your ex could get hired to where you work. But one way or another, you are finding yourself shoulder to shoulder, you know, elbow to elbow with somebody that you squat with, and it's just not any fun. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Let's find out what you got going on. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Jack. Jack's in the restaurant business. Sounds like he has quite the active dating history. Let's find out how that's working out for him. Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
How you doing today?
Good.
Hi.
Lisa May.
Hi.
I used to work at a restaurant a long time ago, and I was starting to date the server chick at night, and then from there, I went to hook up with the manager, but she was married, so they weren't going to talk about it. Then at that time, I started hooking up with one of the hostess chicks, and then so it was all good for about 6 months going on, and then somehow they found out, and I was still working there, and then they all got pissed off at me.
How dare they get mad at you
for banging all of them and not telling anyone?
And calling them all chicks.
I was doing them a favor by giving them the jack, the juice.
Right, of course.
He was doing him a favor. Jack was doing him a favor, Kevin.
You don't even have to tell us that, Jack. We know. I imagine dating the boss brings a whole nother level of, you know, problems.
The manager.
I mean,
and
the problem with, the thing about all was cool is the girl at night was engaged and the boss was married. So I was like, well, they're not going to tell anybody because if they do, they're
right.
Kind of screwed.
So they're safe.
But one of the factor was is when I started dating the hostess chick, then she started telling everybody that I was hooking up with her.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was like, the problem is don't date somebody without a boyfriend. Then it'll be okay.
Okay, so date somebody that's in a relationship. Okay.
Yes, there's a perfect
that's what we're saying today. All right.
Is anyone else surprised, thank you for the call, Jack, that Jack could get one woman to sleep with him, much less three?
We might have just heard an imaginary story.
How about our man Simon? He's on line 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about dating someone and breaking up and still having to work together. Simon, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? So I dated this chick and for 3 months. And now she's dating somebody else there.
Uh-oh, phone rang. Sorry. You got to go.
What are we supposed to say?
When the phone rings, we got to move on.
Jose is on line 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, what's your problem with the chicks being referred to as chicks, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. There's a way to say it, but all of the chicks he was dating were all chicks, and it just sounded like he could give a rip about any of them.
He was saying it kind of condescendingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, Jose, hi.
Hi, how's it going? Kevin Bean, Mr. Smith.
Hi.
Good.
Hey, so I was working
before at his body shop now. I was going out for this girl for about a year and a half. I hadn't talked to her for about 2 years, and she calls me out of the blue saying, hey, my dad's looking for someone to work at the body shop. You want a job? And I said, why not? I work 3 minutes away from my house. Mm-hmm. So now she's my manager, and she does my payroll, and I get written up every single week now because I don't talk to her at work.
No, but wait, so you took the job knowing you'd be working with your ex. It's a little bit on you, right?
Yeah, it is. But I didn't think I'd be working right next to her. Her dad sat me right next to her in the office.
Sweet.
That's hilarious. Did you guys have some sort of an ugly breakup? I mean, is she holding a grudge against you or something? Were you a dick to her?
No, actually, I was the nicest guy ever to her. But
I'm sure you were. That's why you broke up.
You know how chicks are. All right, dude. Thank you for the call. Kimberly writes in, I broke up with my boyfriend of about a year. Then he got a job at the restaurant where I worked. We had to work together for a year and a half together.
Wow.
Then we got back together. Now we've been married for 7 years. So in that case, working with an ex ended up being the best possible situation.
You know, in restaurants, that's all you do is date everybody you work with. Who
knew?
There's just a hotbed.
Let's talk to Sarah. She's got a story. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, fellas. How's it going, Lisa Mae?
Hi.
Fellas. Ooh, we don't get called fellas very often. What's going on?
I basically dated this guy for about 5 months, and we worked in an English department together. And he felt like he could be honest with me when he hadn't been honest with other people in his life. And he told me he was gay. And it wasn't the excuse to not stop dating me. Oh, I'm gay. I'm going to go date other girls. No, he was actually gay. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to keep it a secret for 6 months afterwards because he wasn't quite ready to tell family and friends yet. And I was so just like emotionally attached to him because I was an idiot.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. So he was having sex with you?
Yeah.
But said that he was gay?
Yes.
And don't and tell now, anyone?
Yeah, I didn't know that worked. I would have tried that if I'd have known that worked.
Was he lying?
Gay now. No, he's gay now. Like, he is told, I'm the last woman he was ever with.
Oh, you must be bad.
No.
You must be bad in bed.
No. You turned him. He was at that critical point where he was going to make a decision, and you gave him a reason to go with men.
Sarah must be just so horrible in bed. You know what I mean? I'm turning my back on women forever. Thank you,
really?
Sarah.
That's what it's like?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Yeah.
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 Is it Love Songs on the Coast, Ralph? Is that what we're doing right
Thanks
now?
Thanks for coasting with us here on K-Rock. I'm Ted Zickenbush.
Funny man, I think he's working at The Fish now. Ted Zickenbush. I think he moved on to The Fish.
Yeah. How do you not change your name, by the way, if you're getting into the show business and your last name is Zickenbush?
I don't know. That's a good question. That would be first thing you do. But not him.
Ted Bush. Just cut it down. I'm Ted Bush.
Yeah, there you go. Jay Moore should be here and should be joining us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Beach. You're a funny man, Jay Moore.
I do.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
He's a funny, funny man, that Jay Moore.
Yes, he is.
Listen to more stories? Listen to his podcast, More Stories?
I certainly have.
I do. Very, very funny stuff. Good man. Nice guy. Demi Moore sped to a hospital last night after a call from paramedics brought them to her Los Angeles home. She was hospitalized, and according to the New York Daily News, she'll be entering a rehab after her hospital stay. That she's got a problem with substance abuse, but not if you ask her representatives. No, no. She's just really, really tired.
Raise your hand if you're full of crap.
Moore's representative told TMZ she's being treated for exhaustion. Because of the stresses in her life right now, Demi has chosen to seek professional assistance to treat her exhaustion and improve her overall health.
I need to try this exhaustion. Whatever it is sounds good.
She's just going to a spa, that's all.
A lot of people getting hooked on it.
A spa where a lot of people at the spa are alcoholics and drug addicts and have to clean the floors and do all the chores and smoke a lot and go through therapy. It's one of those spas.
It's kind of odd.
Come on, representatives of celebrities.
It is pretty hard.
Let go of the exhaustion. That's that hand has been played.
That's right.
We're done with it.
We've seen that one. That episode has come and gone.
Man.
There has to be something newer and hotter that celebrities could be suffering from than just being tired and thirsty.
And she has been seen out like every night in town just partying with people and dancing and drinking and honestly trying to get over her failed marriage or whatever's going on with her. I get it. But if the paramedics have to show up, and the paramedics have never shown up for somebody who's tired, by the way. Never happens. Hi, 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, my boss, she's really, really tired.
She's, put her to bed.
No, she's exhausted. Can you come here right away, please, paramedics? She is so sleepy, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Her eyes keep closing. She keeps falling asleep.
What should I do?
Did she hit her head?
No, she's just really tired. She's exhausted.
Has she been sick?
No, no, she's just exhausted. You're not listening to me. She's exhausted.
Does she take drugs, sir?
No, she's just really exhausted. Please come right away. We need your help. She keeps going to sleep. She keeps nodding off during Leno's monologue. We don't know what to do.
First of all, sir, turn off Leno.
Yeah, no one's buying. James Farentino, the actor, is dead.
That's for you, Kevin.
I don't know who that is.
He was a big, big deal in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. One of those character actors you'd know if you saw him. He was on every TV show on television. He had a regular role in Dynasty. Most recently, probably best known for playing George Clooney's dad on ER.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The man spent a lifetime entertaining us, Kevin. I don't think it's too much to ask to mention him for 30 seconds.
He didn't entertain me.
He did. I guarantee you he did. I guarantee you saw something he did and liked it.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Well, this guy's already dead, so I guess you don't really need to get into that. But I always liked him. I always liked Farentino. He was a man's man. Yeah, just a hairy, burly dude, you know?
Okay, you're good making him sound worse.
Good dude.
Do you think this 30-second tribute is the most he has been discussed on any airwaves in the last 30 years?
No, ever. No, because he was arrested in 2010 for beating a dude up. He was like 70. He was like 70, and he just smacked the crap out of a guy. Got busted for assault.
The guy accused him of not really going to the moon?
Wow, file.
That's a reasonable reference.
Yeah, well, we'll decide.
Old people beating people up? Come on.
We'll decide when we play it back.
He's got to bring it back to Buzz somehow, doesn't he?
He really does.
And while we're talking about space, thanks for bringing it up, Bean. Dick Tufeld is dead.
Who's Dick Tufeld? Do you have anybody,
Kevin,
I've heard of?
You know Dick Tufeld.
Honestly.
Remember Lost in Space? Remember the Space Family Robinson on the Jupiter 2 flying around?
I don't really remember watching it. I just remember the kid.
They were trying to get to Alpha Centauri, but it all went wrong, Kevin. And now they're just trying to get home to Earth.
One of those guys died.
Oh, William. Oh, the pain, William.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
But the robot.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger.
The robot died?
The voice of the robot, Dick Tufeld, died.
I don't know who you mean.
You do. He was the robot.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You want to talk to your Lost in Space expert? You want to bring in a Lost in Space expert?
No.
You know who on the staff is a Lost in Space expert?
You?
No. I'm a fan, but I'm no expert.
On the staff.
Biggest Lost in Space fan on staff here of the Kevin DeBeach Show.
If it's not you, I have no idea.
This is going to surprise you.
Bean?
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Is an expert in nothing.
Is a huge Lost in Space fan.
What the hell?
Can't get enough of it. Has the box sets at home, watches all the seasons, loves Lost in Space.
So not there. My fault.
So there, Kevin, it's not all about you. Sometimes we have to give some love to people that other people care about.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Besides Dave.
I bet Dick Tufeld's family cares.
Probably. I don't even know what that is.
Probably they don't care much.
If James Farentino was alive, he'd be sad that Dick Tufeld was dead.
Honestly, this is the People No One's Heard Of report. You'd have to change the name of it.
Chris Rock.
There you go.
He's in trouble with the law.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was at the Sundance Film Festival, and someone came up to him and said, hey, can I get a picture with you and my girlfriend? And Chris said, okay. And then all of a sudden, this guy sticks a video camera in his face. It was a setup. It was a fake.
Uh-oh.
Faked him out just to get his attention, then starts grilling him about questions about Newt Gingrich.
What?
Apparently he was trying to stir some mess up, and so he sticks the camera in his face and starts to be an investigative reporter.
Where's the outrage there?
Yeah, where is the outrage? Bystanders say Chris pushed the guy, smashed his cameras, and then asked, did you get your shot? Oh, snap.
Seems to me he had it coming.
He pulled a James Farentino on that guy is what happened. He went all Farentino on him. I'm bringing it back. I'm going to bring it back to Farentino.
Really, <I'm> just...
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Trevino. He plays Tyler Lockwood on The Vampire Diaries. He's 27 years old today. You don't know him either, do you, Kevin?
No.
Where's your outrage now? Where's your anger now?
I just want to know somebody you're talking about.
Well, we'd all like you to know somebody we're talking about, but that's just not going to happen, is it?
Who else you got?
Alicia Keys.
Yes!
Familiar with her?
Yes.
Lead singer of the Black Keys, of course.
Nope.
She is 31 years old today.
That's not true.
Mia Kirshner. Don Kirshner's daughter. Remember Don Kirshner's rock concert?
No.
I don't think they're related at all, actually. She is 37 years old today. Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty.
Now, I don't know her, Ralph. Is she a Belle or not a Belle?
She is married to Tito Ortiz.
I don't think so.
She is 41 years old today. But is she hot enough for a Belle, is my question.
I have never seen one episode of Ugly Betty, so I'm the wrong guy to ask. You know there's a huge Ugly Betty fan that won the staff? Dave the King of Mexico.
Is he really?
Nope.
I know.
Terry Chimes. Terry Chimes. Had that song Seasons in the Sun. Remember that? We had joy, we had fun.
I don't think anything you're saying is accurate.
He's just making stuff up.
Literally nothing you've said is accurate.
Or Terry Chimes could have been the drummer for The Clash.
One of them. He's not even the good one. He's not even the famous one who was with the band for a long time. He was a part-time, sometime drummer.
Wow. So now the guy has to
be in the band for a year at least.
Have a full-time contract before you give a rat's ass.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Terry is 57 years old today. And I still count him as a member of The Clash.
All right.
So there. Bet James Farentino.
Don't make me go all Farentino.
Bet James Farentino would consider a member of The Clash if he was
Can
still with us.
Can we get to Jay Moore, who makes references that I don't understand?
Can you get to Jay Moore? You tell me.
I'd like to.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock here on a Tuesday Kevin Bean Show. Matt Money Smith talks NBA and the upcoming Super Bowl next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, and we'll qualify you with a free surfboard. You'll be qualified for a trip to go to see Incubus where? Australia.
Australia!
Less than 1 hour from right now. Hey, Jay Moores!
Yeah!
Jay Moores!
Kevin!
How are you, man?
Lisa!
Hello.
Beer mugs.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
How's everybody?
Jay is here. He is appearing at the Brea Improv this weekend. Already sold out, both shows Friday night. Two shows Saturday night. Some tickets still available. And, of course, the late show on 7 p.m. show on Sunday. That's the last show of the weekend. Tickets still available.
You didn't know Friday was sold out?
There is no Friday show. It's Saturday and Sunday only.
That's why Friday's sold out.
Okay, so Friday.
I'm working on Burt Wonderstone with Steve Carell and Jim Carrey.
Right.
Yes, it's that's like, right. It's a magic movie, right?
Yeah, it's Anchorman with magicians.
I apologize, Jay. I don't know why our people keep giving us wrong information. So Saturday night and Sunday night, get your tickets at BreaImprov.com. That is a huge movie role for you being in that film with those guys, right?
It's a lot. It's like comedy fantasy camp. You get to
and Steve Carell is a genius, right?
He's an absolute genius.
I think he is.
Yes. Well, I'm agreeing with you.
He's agreeing with you.
And wow. Let him
why
keep
are you
talking?
Arguing?
I would like to hear more.
I interrupt everybody all the time, so it's nice when somebody
Jay,
else
he's
is.
A genius.
Hey! Interrupting cow?
Knock, knock.
Carell has got, like, the funniest lines. And remember he called into this show? I was here.
When you were here in studio, yes.
And he goes, I called in to some radio show. I goes, Kevin and Bean. He goes, yes. He's so sweet. And his ad-libs are the hardest in my lifetime to keep a straight face.
Really?
He has to look at Jim Carrey, who plays like David Blaine.
Yeah.
And go, I've seen your show. It's not magic. It's nonsense. And then, like, by take 14, he goes, I've seen your show. It's not magic. It's monkey danger. And I'm, like, right over his shoulder, like, oh, my God. I got a big pompadour hairdo.
Is there pressure on you to not crack up? I mean, do you feel bad because there are so many other people involved in the situation?
Well, you're the one that ruins it?
It hasn't happened, so I don't. The pressure is just. I got to be honest with you. It's the opposite of pressure. It's the first time I've been in a comedy with a huge comedy. Like, you're only in these two scenes to come in and be funny. So for me, it's like being in the minor leagues for 8 years and you're a September call up and they go, get a bat. You're batting ninth. Like, hell yeah, let's do it. Oh, yes.
That's what I trained my whole life for.
Yeah. So I get to ad lib and everybody ad libs and it's a whole bunch of fun. And Steve Buscemi's alarmingly funny.
Really?
Wow. What a cast. You'll get cut out of this movie, though, right?
Most likely.
Okay, good.
So Demi Moore, I heard Ralph on the showbiz beat
saying that she had exhaustion.
And it's a salient point because when you go to the hospital, when you go to the hospital, you know, oh my God, they wake you up every 2 hours.
Yes, Norm MacDonald.
To take your temperature. That's no place to go when you have exhaustion. The best place I've discovered to go to when you're exhausted is home. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. How long have we been doing this job here, digging these walls and mortaring these walls here? Yeah, I think I'm going to go home. I'm so tired. I quit. No one ever said, I quit. I'm going to the hospital dude. Get some rest. You can't.
Do you get a little a lot of call for Norm MacDonald?
None.
None. Okay.
It's Tracy and Walken.
Tracy and Walken. That's
and a
it.
Little, little Colin. You know, you got to mix it up.
Sure, of course.
Lisa's sitting here with Earl Grey tea. You know, she lets everybody know she's an erudite. You know? She's not just a third mic. You know, you walk in with your, you know, she's got her own specialty. Whole Foods tea. You know?
Jay, you are famous enough that you would make the news if you went into rehab. Do you have people who are standing by prepared to issue a statement that it's exhausted, exhaustion, dehydration?
I've all just delivered. Oh, I can't get out of column unless I'm doing it. I don't have any publicity people, but I keep employed the last five living dwarfs from The Wizard of Oz.
Sweet.
They are, Jay Moore has gone to rehab for exhaustion.
Woo! I would love it if that were how all of your statements were released.
The tulip lady comes out. Very truly, doubly only, Brea Improv Saturday. Come on, you pricks, come to my show.
On Friday night?
Shut up.
Saturday night.
By the way,
disgusted with the twoies.
And Sunday night.
Chip claims that that's on the Brea Improv website, that Friday night. So you better double check with them that you're not expected to be there, because they seem to think you are. So it is Saturday and Sunday night, according to Jay Moore.
I like that you call the gal Chip. That's, you know.
That's her,
You know, open your arms up to the community and go,
BreaImprov.com.
You're a delightful young lady, Chip. Where's your sister Hap? It's like Willie Loman-esque vibe you got going in. Arthur Miller working the wheels of steel in there. I like that.
This exhaustion thing also affected...
That's the first Arthur Miller reference of
the year.
Yes,
it certainly
is. Only Colin would say it.
I gotta be honest.
Then this I gotta exhaustion... go home and take notes on Equus.
Dennis Miller would say it. No, it's too well known for Dennis Miller to even
Dennis
use
Miller
Arthur
would be
Miller.
Too angry to form a cognitive sentence at this point.
Yeah. Your boy Tracy Morgan also succumbed to exhaustion and altitude, apparently, at Sundance this week.
I love the photo on the internet of him getting back on the plane with oxygen tank strapped to him like scuba gear, and it's like... Like, everything's completely normal. Look, just a black guy in first class breathing oxygen tank. Like, what? Obviously, everything's fine. He's sitting on an airplane with an oxygen tank like he's going to go underwater. Like, everything, he's, what? I don't know what you're doing printing stories that he's unhealthy. He's flying on an airplane, and his carry-on was oxygen.
Happens all the time.
That's why they don't smoke on planes no more. You're going to explode me, Kevin. Demi Moore, that's probably like what, pills and, probably and allegedly, I have
no
idea. Of
course, allegedly.
Pills and booze, right?
I would guess, yeah.
Here's the press release I would like to see.
Okay.
Jay, I'll be my own PR people. I go into the hospital. The hospital takes me away, and now you're calling and asking what happened.
Okay. What happened to Jay?
911 was called, went to his house, and he's now currently at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica.
What's going on with him? What's the problem?
What's the problem?
AIDS.
So make it worse than it is?
No, yeah.
And then when you find
he really hit a wall. He fought it as long as he could, and he realized I should probably get some type, maybe vitamin B, some tetracycline, and then you can counter with like, that's completely false, and then you can prove, then you get the blood work done, then that's your new reality show, celebrity blood work.
I like it.
Okay.
I like
all
it.
Right.
Tommy Lee, you have hepatitis B.
Let's squeeze in
you.
One phone call, if you don't mind, from Gina. Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Hi.
Gina!
You're on with Jay.
Jay, I have a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh. All right.
You have ruined not only Christmas, but my anniversary.
How come?
Because I bought tickets for your show on Friday night for my husband for Christmas, and Friday is our anniversary.
So why can't you just go Saturday?
Because my kids have a soccer party.
Oh, soccer party. What do they get, participant trophies?
Listen, I get medals
all year. It was 8-8 every game.
I get a call yesterday from the Brea Improv.
Sorry,
that
I have a movie.
You canceled the show.
No, I didn't cancel the show.
That's what they said.
You could move it to Saturday or Sunday.
I really can't.
Move
my kids have a party.
Bring the kids. Get a babysitter.
Bring the kids. That's a great idea. Bring the kids.
Look at the game tape. Gina, listen. First of all, I do sincerely apologize for any inconvenience you have. The fact that you got comedy tickets to see me for Christmas and anniversary. By the way to contract that into one present, cheapskate. But anyway. So why don't you perform on your husband as like a side gift, right?
Okay, well, that's not quite the same.
It is to him.
Yeah.
It's better to him.
Well, I'm not really concerned about him right
now. No matter.
Okay, I see. Exactly.
She was looking forward to the show.
Right. Exactly.
All right. How do we help you get a babysitter for Saturday or Sunday?
Okay. Well, there's are you going to give me free tickets?
No.
Well, that's
Jay,
not fair.
Jay, you can hook. But if you bought tickets for Friday, now that show's not happening, can't the club swap them out for another day?
You have a list.
That's what happened.
You have a list, right, Jay?
Gina, your tickets will be good. There's no way the club doesn't go, but you can use your tickets.
No, they did. But here's the thing. We had a whole
All right,
thing
now you're
planned.
Just a complainer.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. But I had a whole thing planned. I had the kids at a babysitter. I got a hotel night. Ooh. And that's the only night we can do it. Well, we can't do Saturday, but if you give me free tickets, I can go on Sunday.
Why can't they use your tickets on Sunday?
Because now you're going to ruin the whole night on Friday, which is our anniversary.
So what are you going to have? Four? You're going to have four tickets on Sunday? What, are you going to bring friends now?
No, I said two.
All right.
If you give me four, you
keep
know.
But if you have tickets to Friday, you can use those tickets for Sunday.
I understand that, but then what am I supposed to do? Just scrap Friday night?
No, take Friday night.
Take him to the hotel and blow his brains out.
But not with a gun. I mean, you know.
No, yeah, I hope not.
What are you at, the Embassy Suites?
Yes.
Where all that King Tut writing on the walls? Come on, honey, do the right thing. You know what I mean? Take him, show him the pyramid,
come on,
honey.
Jay.
We need to take a break.
We're out of time,
Gina. My pyramid, Iggy.
We're out of time.
Show him.
Good luck to you. Thank you for calling. Jay Moore is here Saturday and Sunday. BreaImprov.com. We'll be right back in the Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 27 minutes after 8.
I like the booger sugar.
I'm sorry, what, Tracy?
You guys have a large female demographic. We had Mike Catherwood on More Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that one.
We spoke. It was two of them, but thanks. And then, but I love Bean always chimes in with just
hey,
enough
he's
wrong
trying it. For support. He's trying to support you, man.
I downloaded that one when Mike tweeted, hey, I just did More Stories. It's up on iTunes. I specifically went and listened to that one. I enjoyed it. I'm sorry if I didn't hear the
Thank
first
you.
One, but I enjoyed it.
You know what, Bean? I'm just quick with the jokes. I got my riff guns out like Yosemite Sam, and you got caught. You got strafed, and I apologize.
You worked hard, and I took advantage of the free thing that you offered me. That's
collateral
all that happened.
Damage. Sometimes there's a baby next to the Al Qaeda hideout, and you go, "That's too bad," but we got him. I already know the baby wasn't a terrorist. Did you guys watch the People's Choice Awards or the
Golden Globes? It was nightmarish.
Bob
it was
Dylan
death.
Comes out, and I don't know what that. What better way to pay tribute to the greatest director that's ever lived, then have a 90-year-old man to go on stage with pancake makeup going, eh, well, wonder why, me, me, me.
Wait, Bob Dylan didn't. Oh, you're talking about the People's Choice Awards? Or the
Bob
I didn't
Dylan
watch
was
that
at the
one.
Golden Globes. And it was
he was not
tribute.
At the Golden Globes.
He was not there.
Was
he
was not at the Golden Globes.
Where was it a tribute to Martin Scorsese? Critics' Choice.
Ah, there you go. Okay, that one I didn't
where
see.
Judd Apatow dropped the F-bomb about Jerry Lewis. I'm like,
right.
Bro, this. But it was on VH1, so it was all confusing. Like, the time-space continuum ripped for me.
Why
like
are you watching that show?
Because I don't. Here's the point.
Jay's an actor.
Yeah. I came to that conclusion. We were watching the People's Choice Award, which was hosted by that girl from the autism show.
Glee?
No.
Parenthood.
No, they're all like, we're nerds. You can tell by our clothing. Sheldon, you're our nerd.
Oh, Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, Big Bang. They all have like autism and Asperger's, and it's hilarious, right?
We don't know anything about the People's Choice Awards because that's a dreadful program, but go ahead.
Well, I won one, but thanks. Best New Comedy canceled. So I'm Kelly Cuoco.
She's hot. Yes. And she's, unbelievably hot, yes.
Whatever, bro. If you like girls that do actual Jennifer Aniston impressions in the real life. And then Demi Lovato comes out with like a hockey mullet and like a black polka-dotted poodle skirt and gets a standing ovation. And I look at my wife and I go, we need to get out of show business. We need to just teach sex seminars in Fontana.
People are supporting her journey, though, of fighting
she's
back from
cutter,
anorexia.
And she what journey?
That's
she's
what
a teen
saying
millionaire
is-
that cuts herself and vomits. I would like that journey.
You were right, but I think people are trying
Twitter's
to support
up. That's not cool, man. You don't know what it's like. Yes, I do. I wrestled. I got beat up every day when a guy's nuts in my face.
That's the worst kind of way to get beat up.
That does sound harder than just cutting and not eating. Actually.
Like cutting and eating. These are choices that you've made to get attention. I know I'm oversimplifying the entire sociological problem.
No, I think you've summarized
cutting.
It completely.
But for her, for like a Disney star,
right.
To be handed money as a child to walk in and go, okay, people, like all that garbage, like everyone shouts.
Right.
All their like Miley Cyrus dialogue.
Right.
Right.
And then go like, I have an eating disorder. Like, really? You do? For real? Because I watched you on the People's Choice Awards and you were a house.
Okay, now you're going to join Kevin in saying Demi Lovato is too fat for you.
That, no, at
for
one
someone
point,
that supposedly purges every meal she eats, she's
well,
a fatso.
At one point, yeah, but
and then she gets mad at Disney for a girl for the joke saying Disney or Nick, whatever the show was, whether it's Jake, whatever it is, I cannot understand what comes out of my son's mouth. It's it's Drake and Josh.
Yes.
Right. And somehow that passed the focus group. Because people go, are you watching Jake and Josh? Like, it's impossible. And then one of those characters said, oh, that looks like something that would be delicious, you know, if I ate. Right. That was the joke. And she's like,
she got all outraged and tweeted about it and the whole deal, right?
Yeah. It's like, I don't think they wrote it to make fun of you, Demi, or whatever your name is, Lovato.
Demi Lovato, I think, yeah.
Why can't you all be more like that delightful little Amanda Cosgrove? What? She's either going to go supermodel or Fran Drescher. There's no in between. The iCarly girl is right there. Like those Jenner.
She could go either way. I agree.
Like those Jenner girls are right there. It's either like. Bah.
When did you become an 11-year-old girl?
When did I become one?
Yeah, when did you inhabit that world?
It sounds to me like his kids are.
I'm a complete closet gay. We know that.
Okay.
I've been on the waiting list. Look at me. I'm wearing an Hermes scarf and my Free City.
I was going to bring that up. But.
Sweat jacket. With my
sure, you and Mike Catherwood had a lot of clothes talk to do with when he stopped by for
we
the podcast.
We do. It's like the gayest podcast in the world. And then when it gets a little too gay, and I say that admirably for anybody listening.
Sure.
Then he tells a story about buying meth in Victorville, and the meth dealer just took out a Desert Eagle and shot one of the cats in the trailer.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, wow, that's a delightful.
That's quite a story you have there.
It's great. It's more stories. You didn't know that about Mike?
I didn't know that.
Apparently, Mike used to do a lot of drugs.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
No,
of course.
I know. I'm kidding, of course. Yeah.
Jay Moore is here. We have to take a quick break, Jay. I'm sorry. You are at the Brea Improv on Saturday night. Two big shows. Sunday night, one show. You can buy tickets at BreaImprov.com. Trust me, you're scratching the surface if you're listening to Jay Moore on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. It's nothing compared to what you get when you see him unedited. With all the language on stage. Am I right? Wouldn't you say that's the way to see you is in your true environment?
This is definitely, you know, the watered down PG, you know, watching Raging Bull on WPIX version of the show.
Matt Money Smith will be here to talk Clippers, Lakers tonight. Also talk about the Super Bowl coming up. That'll be in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up too. Jay Moore is in studio on stage at the Brea Improv Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Jay, do you mind if I ask you a couple questions? The email is coming in now that you're in the
studio. JayMoore37 is the Twitter address. Have at it. Or my website, jaymoore.com. You can email me directly, and we can have longer conversations, so let's hear it.
First of all, this comes from Herb. Hey, guys, thanks for turning him on to Jay Moore's podcast. I listen to it all the time. I've been a fan of him ever since I first heard him on your show. Is it true that he gave comedian Ralphie May his first real paying gig?
I don't know, because I don't know what gigs Ralphie I doubt it, because he was at
your comedy?
He opened for me for a long time, and
no,
then he was on
that.
Last Comic Standing.
Oh, Last Comic Standing.
And then he opened for me. Ralphie is one of the funniest guys ever in the world. And then he's a guy, when people would ask me, who are your favorite comics? I'd say Dave Attell, Bert Kreischer, Ralphie May. Like, all guys that no one had heard of. So that was why I created Last Comic Standing, because it's like, these guys should be on TV. Like, it's a shame. These guys shouldn't be twiddling away in obscurity. So I would doubt it. But I will say this. Let me tell you something about Ralphie May.
Please.
Ralphie May, to this day, when he gets paid a large sum of money, he'll call me and thank me.
Is that right?
That's the kind of guy Ralphie May is.
And then he lets you take a little piece?
I don't want a piece.
You want a little piece of his action?
I didn't tell any of his jokes.
All right, I'm just checking.
He's the best.
He calls me.
He's a real
very impressive.
Sweetheart. I've had my track record for opening acts. Ralphie May, Nick Swardson, Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura.
Not bad.
I don't know Tom Segura, but the other three, very funny.
Yeah, Tom's way up there, too.
All right. Dante
writes in. I would say no. If I was on the witness stand and I was an expert, I'd have to say no.
Dante, please ask Jay why he cursed his son with a girl's name. What's up with that?
I just want him to be able to kick some ass. This is coming from a guy named Dante. He's named after an inferno and the man that fights Christ on a daily basis. What a creep. The longer my son continues to go on day by day, the name Meredith is more amazing and beautiful to me. I love it. And you know what? Tell his
he's not going to love it.
Why?
Because he's
gonna
get
the west
up.
Side of L.A. He goes to school with Xanders and Scouts and Rumors and Dylans. They name your kid Holden, from Catcher in the Rye. Nobody knows Catcher in the Rye anymore. It's like a dead book. He spells crummy with a B in the middle.
stupid. I don't know what to say to anyone.
Crumby. like comb with a B?
Yeah, I got it.
And that whole book, then I had to walk all 14 crumby blocks. It's like, how did that get past the, you know?
The editors.
So I don't believe my son's cursed, Dante. And if you ever saw that child smile, you would know that he's the opposite. He's incredibly blessed, and we all are lucky to be in his light.
Will you be hurt if he changes his name when he gets old enough?
No, I don't care.
Okay. Yes, you would. You'd be
not at all. And finally, John writes,
Daniel.
All right.
Why do you tell his grandfather, who's classified, that you don't like his name? Why do you tell the guy who's at Edwards Air Force Base right now cracking codes? That's a girl's name. And then we'll see what happens next time your phone rings and you say hello. Boom! He's in like the Mossad for crying out loud.
It's a great name.
That's what that's what we're saying, right? Yeah. Look, I don't care. I was just, you know, they said, hey, ask Jay, so I'm asking Jay. All right, John writes in, what's up with your old TV show Action? I love that. Is it in reruns anywhere? It's freaking hilarious.
IFC, I believe, runs it. And just so you two know, you guys can make fun of Meredith all you want the rest of our lives together. You're never going to make me leave with a red S. I don't care at all.
Okay, good.
Just so we're clear.
But that guy that emailed can't do it.
Well, no, his name's Dante.
Okay, all right.
Like, picture a baby in a onesie. That's how you got to go back to names. Like, Gary, Alan. Like, what's your baby's name? Steve. Like, picture a little onesie with moons on it. What's your baby's name? Oh, this is Dante. Dante right now is on a cell phone. He's talking about me right now. What's your baby's name? Gary. Like, picture Gary's
come on. That's my boyfriend's name.
It's a normal name.
You know the worst name?
But just picture it in a onesie, and it's like, what? Well, like, Stu.
This is kind of grown up for a little infant, right?
Gary's like,
this is my
Stew.
Baby, Bean. Bean's actually cool. I like Bean as a baby.
Bean's a nickname, though. You know, he's Gene. That's a bad name.
That's way worse than Meredith.
Meredith. Well, I know that it's worse than Meredith, but it's pretty bad.
Shut your face.
Gene.
Meredith is lyrically beautiful. Meredith. And it was a boy's name until World War II. It means Lord of the Sea. It's a Scottish kick-ass fighting name.
Okay.
I would invent quite a backstory, too, if I had to defend that name.
Okay, Gene.
Jay Moore, Saturday and Sunday night.
You got to have wiry, long, curly hair to be named Gene.
Do I have to be Gene Simmons in your mind to be a Gene?
No, I was thinking like an old like Jewish guy with like everything in your garage is itemized and labeled. That's a gene.
Like an organized Howard Stern?
A completely organized garage. Like all these different shelves with different screwdrivers and nuts and bolts. Like, well, let me see what I got here. Your closet has all the same clothes in it.
Sorry, Bean. I didn't mean to give him this kind
gene,
of ammo.
What's Gene short? Eugene?
No, it's just Gene. But it's not an uncommon name. There are lots of people, you know, Gene Autry and Gene Simmons. A lot of people named Gene.
Yes, dead people. Dead people.
My father's name was Gene. I was named after my
father. And is he dead or not?
He's not dead. He's
dead. Well, not yet. But, I mean, one day he's going to die.
I'm going to be a dead person named Gene, too.
One day your father will die and there'll be another person on the list of dead genes. Gene Simmons has been dead for 14 years. He looks like Otto and George's puppet.
Saturday and Sunday, Brea Improv, Jay Moore on stage. Go to BreaImprov.com. You'll have a great time. Jay, thanks for coming in, man. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Bean.
Thank you, Jay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:55. Sometimes it's hard to get rid of Jay.
I know. God bless him, right? He's the best. He is the best.
You don't want to, though.
No, you don't.
That's
really
the upside.
But unfortunately, I have to move on and do other things.
Kevin's trying on everyone's headphones today.
I just put on the wrong
pair.
Do
you find another pair you like better?
I put on Muggs' headphones.
You
want
to try mine? See how these fit you?
We were just taking pictures, and Jay was standing in the door, and money's
Kevin,
here.
Kevin, you know which ones are yours. The ones that have been dipped in diet soda. Those are the ones that he uses.
I'm easily distracted.
Those headphones are never going to fit you again, Muggs. Look how stretched out they are.
How dare you.
8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith joins us in studio coming up next. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yep.
Storage Wars back in the news?
Nope. Yep. See Southland last night?
No, I taped
it. Yes, I did.
Come on now with that show.
I know I said this earlier, but they have more things happen to them in a day than most people have in their whole lives. It's insane what it's like to be the LAPD on Southland.
It was especially cool after hanging with Ben and Michael yesterday, the stars of the show, Michael Kublitz and Ben McKenzie. And then having them sort of give you hints about what's going to happen to the show and then watching it and waiting for certain things to happen. And they did not disappoint, I'll tell you. You say to somebody, oh, yeah, I get into it with a couple teenage girls. You think, oh, Yes, sweet.
Right.
And then, of course, it's Southland, so they don't deliver on that.
That turns out not to be good?
On that hope. No, yeah. You get the bad end of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how cops don't... I'm not trying to give anything away here, but forget we're talking about Southland. I don't know how police officers don't haul off and slug most of the people they come across in the course of their day-to-day
haul
job.
Haul off and slug? I would have a constantly empty gun. I'd have to be going back to the station to buy more bullets. like four times a shift, I'd have to go back. You're out of bullets again? Yeah, I'm sorry. I emptied my clip into another a-hole. Can you just give me some more bullets, please? Thank
the
you.
Body count's pretty impressive on that show, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's a good time.
You would kill people on Mondays and Tuesdays, and then you have to do paperwork the rest of the week.
That's true. If you discharge your weapon, you don't have a lot of paperwork. All right, let's talk about Demi Moore. Sped to the hospital last night after a call was made to paramedics that brought them to her Los Angeles residence. According to TMZ.com, she is being treated for substance abuse. New York Daily News adds she will enter a rehab after her hospital stay. Although, of course, that is wrong because her representatives say she is exhausted. That's all.
Do you hear Jay talking about that?
Yeah.
They wake you up every 15 minutes.
The last place to go for exhaustion is a hospital.
We're not buying it anymore.
No. We never did, but now it's just getting silly. Now it's just such a cliche that even a halfway decent publicist would say, well, you know what, we can't use that old exhaustion thing anymore.
But
to come
guys,
up with something else. Just say, you know what, do what we do. Say, oh, she's liquid from the neck down. And we're like, boom, we're not going to ask any more questions
about
her.
Key.
Oh, she's got lady parts problems. Oh, never move. Never mind. I don't want to hear anymore. Fine. Let us know when she gets better. That's all.
Let me ask you guys this question. How long were she and Ashton Kutcher married?
6 years?
Yeah, I was going to say 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
something like that. Seems like she was fine during all of that time, right? I don't remember ever hearing stories about her, you know, having to be rushed to the hospital for exhaustion. Is something going on because of the divorce? I mean, is she out, like, really, like, just drinking like crazy because she's single now? Or what's
I think
going on?
Ashton Kutcher was so boring, she was always well-rested because he would talk to her and
could
she,
be.
She was
goes right off.
Yeah. But now that he's gone, all this, she's overstimulated. She's exhausted. She's got fatigue.
I mean, I saw her in Margin Call a couple of months ago, that terrific movie, and mm-hmm. I'd forgotten, and it had been so long since I'd seen her as an actress. It was nice to even just see her working again. She's been kind of invisible.
Dude, she's tired. Earlier in the day, we were talking about her work or lack thereof, and I mentioned that she had landed the role of Gloria Steinem, feminist icon Gloria Steinem, in the new Linda Lovelace biopic starring Amanda Seyfried, who plays Linda Lovelace, the star of Deep Throat, legendary porn film Deep Throat. She has announced... an update today. She has lost that role now due to all this. She will not be playing Gloria Steinem.
She was tired.
She's too tired. She's going to be too busy at the sleep center to perform. Because apparently they're shooting it fairly soon. And she will be in snooze rehab. She's going to be at the pillow farm. So she won't be able to participate. That's She'll be bad. So busy catching up on her naps.
People need to nap, Ralph.
This breaks my heart. This is unacceptable. Women, women, why do you do this to us? This comes out of the UK. Star Trek superfan Tony Alleny spent 10 years turning his condo into an exact replica of the interior of the Starship Enterprise.
Sweet. What a gigantic dork.
What an awesome house to live in.
That would be pretty cool to come home to.
You'd come home to and you'd go, psh. The doors open like those turbo lift doors, and you walk and you sit down in your big captain's chair, turn on the giant flat screen view screen there in the front of the bridge. Uhura, I want to watch Star Wars.
Loser! 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 Loser!
Just comes up, swing around, talk down to engineering. I can't help you, Captain! But sorry, the furnace isn't working. It's going to be a cold one
but
tonight.
But that guy can't do any of those
yes,
voices.
Yes, he can.
No.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby!
Go over to the food replicator. You get a hot cup of soup.
It's Ralph's hero.
Oh, I'll be the best.
What happened?
Well, he's married, and his wife, bitch... that she is divorcing him.
Why would anyone marry him in the first place?
And now, because it's community property, they have to sell the condo. She's insisting they sell the condo.
How do you get rid of that?
So he's got to break down the Enterprise from the inside of the condo. He's got to gut it so that they can put it up in the market and some lame ass who wants to live in a regular condo can move in when they sell it.
It's so fabulous. Why wouldn't someone just buy it as is, Ralph?
Lisa, you don't understand.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay, then. Yeah. So we've got that. Agreed upon
because it's dumb.
To say I'm gutted is an understatement, he adds. It's my life's work.
Oh, I weep. I weep for Tony. I weep for Tony and his bridge.
Tony is a loser.
It's like, what would happen if I, God forbid, I had to ever get a divorce from my wife, Carrie, and then to sell the house, I had to break down the Batcave. I had to take out all my cool stuff that I've built into that thing and everything.
But
and
that's
I had to get rid
of it. That's one room. That's not your entire house built as a spaceship.
It'd be great if I built my house and made it the Batcave when you walked in. There's like two giant poles there and a Batmobile and a big turntable in the center.
You tried and she said
computers
no.
And everything. Boop, 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 boop.
Ralph did show up to his wedding in the Batmobile.
Hells to the yeah.
Those of you don't remember that.
While we're talking about Batman, of course, this Saturday is my evening with Adam West, where I'm going to be talking about Adam's life and career over a span of a couple hours at the John Lovitz Theater on City Walk, up by Universal Studios. We are like single-digit tickets away from a sellout.
Right.
So if you want to go, you got to buy now. You can go to thelovitz.com, because we're definitely going to be sold out by Saturday, I'm happy to say.
They're tight.
They're tight.
And all the proceeds, of course, go to pay for his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which happens sometime later this year. That's going to be a big deal.
I know you and Adam are actual friends now, Ralph.
Yes, we actually are.
What was it like, and he's your boyhood hero, what was it like when Adam West came to your home and actually walked through your Bat memorabilia room for the first time? Did it just blow your mind? Could you not believe it was happening?
Well, we were filming a TV show.
Oh, that's right.
So it wasn't really like, you know, I didn't get a chance to really geek out. I had to be sort of... We're co-workers now. We're both professionals.
You're
Let's
lucky.
Get this done.
You're lucky it went that way.
And that was the old house. I got the new house. It's even better. The better, the new and improved Batcave is sure. So much better. So now I have to get him into that one.
And your plan
let
is
him leave.
At one point was to kidnap him and then chain him to the wall in your memorabilia room, because
that
would be
the
ultimate piece.
That
would be the ultimate piece of Batman memorabilia is to have
put
Adam
him in
West
a Mylar
in your
box. I'm not going to chain him to the wall. You damage
Don't
the goods
stupid.
That way to keep him in mint condition.
Right.
You have to put him in Mylar. Come on, dude.
Wouldn't that be awesome? You could sell tickets and Bat fans could come and pay $1 to walk through and see Adam West.
Really would like you to leave. Let me go now, Ralph.
Every day, just...
Nope. Here's some gruel. Just slide it through the slot.
Be the best.
Give me that bucket. It's time to empty it.
Ugh.
Well, then you have to think of these things when you're going to keep a human being as a collectible.
I guess so.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mia Kirshner's 37 years old today. Singer Alicia Keys turns 31. Michael Trevino of Vampire Diaries is 27. Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 41.
Lister stepped up with photos of Miss Ortiz, didn't they?
Did they?
Oh, yes,
I didn't
they
see any, but
yes,
I'll take your word for it.
Apparently, yes. Good deal.
And Terry Chimes, occasional drummer for The Clash, not enough for Bean's liking, is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Josh Rice from Silmar won the surfboard, is qualified for the grand prize drawing next week to go to Australia to see the band Incubus. Destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Your chance to win with Kat coming up at noon. Hey, Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey now. What's happening, guys?
What's going on, man?
Well, we're so happy to see you, but unfortunately, I know you have a very tight schedule, so we have much ground to cover in just a few minutes. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with the text I got from the King of Mexico last night that says, Kevin and I are going to make a bet. And we don't know what the wager should be. Clippers-Lakers tonight.
Well, in the past, it's always been a weird betting situation because the Lakers were always so much
sure.
better than the Clippers. The Clippers now are a team to be contended with. So now all of a sudden we have to actually make up real bets.
So here's my thing.
All right.
I hate the whole stupid, oh, you have to wear this t-shirt the next day. Or the hat. No, they don't care. I don't care if I got to wear your stupid Clippers shirt. Whatever. I want a physical challenge, something that's really going to take you out of pocket. So because we have, you know, an aqua theme here, we have a Clipper, you know, a sailing ship, and we have the Lakers, which is, of course, the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yes.
I want to put you guys out. You know, whatever team loses. So here's my plan. Kevin, I want
like
you.
I don't like this plan already. Is it,
this is not up to you. This is up to Lisa May. She's going to decide if this is the right bet or not.
Okay.
All right? If, in fact, the Clippers win, I want Kevin to hop on the freaking Catalina Express and have to take it across the freaking Pacific Ocean to Catalina and snap a photo in front of Mario's there in Avalon and then drag his ass all the way back. Because
no
you know
way.
What? It's going to put you
no
out for
way.
5 hours and it's going to suck.
No way.
He's
going to
come right back.
No
just got to come right back.
I
just
like got to
hop on that. And you know what? If you don't want to do that, then you can dress up like freaking Captain Steubing and go take a photo at the Long Beach Yacht Club and tweet it out to everybody. One of those two things, all right? That's your,
why are you
that's
coming
your
down
half.
On me?
Well, I'm just giving. I'm not.
All right,
listen,
what's this?
Out?
I like it.
Right?
I like it.
Because Dave's Mexican. He's got to sneak in.
Barely.
To Sherwood. And he's got to swim across the lake.
Sherwood. Where's
Lake Sherwood? Sherwood, you know, where Wayne Gretzky lives and all those fancy folks. I want you out there. I want a twit pic of Dave the King of Mexico in Lake Sherwood, just cruising around. You know,
that sounds cold.
Maybe cut-offs?
Yeah, you know, of course.
No, I mean, long jeans.
Brilliant racist observation, Lisa, man. Cut-off jeans. Absolutely.
He's Mexican.
Absolutely. Or you know what? How about this? We'll put you out, too. You got to drive your ass up to Lake Arrowhead. You got to drive to Lake Arrowhead. That'll take about 3 hours. Yeah, snap a photo, turn around, come right back.
That's more like it.
Come on, how about that? How about that, people?
I don't even think Dave swims, yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm a great swimmer, but...
look at Dave, he sinks.
Come on, man.
Kevin, I'm in.
Dave's in. Come on, Kevin. Catalina Express, straight to Avalon. Hop off, snap
I've
the photo.
You know I've gotten sick on that.
Even better.
Even better.
Even better.
Or Captain Stubing.
Or at Captain Stubing. Dress Long up Beach. Like Captain
totally
Stubing
up.
At the Long Beach Yacht Club. And you have to do the Stubing salute, too.
I'll do that.
Stubing.
I'll do that.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
We got a wager, don't we?
Yeah.
We got a wager.
So, for Lake Arrowhead.
Hey, just before I agree entirely, is Chris Paul playing or not playing?
He's playing.
He's starting. Yeah.
He's playing.
So I just got to go to Lake Arrowhead and take a picture at the lake.
Oh, I just got to go to Lake Arrowhead.
No, you have to be in Lake Arrowhead.
I don't know if you can go swim in the lake. I don't know.
It might be matter if you can.
But is it
No. It does matter.
Like Barack Obama's boots on the ground protecting the border?
No, Kevin, he doesn't.
Around Arrowhead?
He doesn't have to get in the lake. His photo at Lake Arrowhead is the equivalent of your photo as Captain Stubing.
Exactly.
You both have a swimming or water challenge, and then you have another one that's just a photo challenge. I think that's fair. I think they're very evenly matched bets.
I
do.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tell me about the teams. How evenly matched are they at this point based on what you've seen?
The Clippers are the better team right
now. That's what I think.
And it's,
that's what I'm afraid
it's
of.
It's remarkable because the Lakers have done nothing but bitch and moan about this new coach and this new system they have to learn. The freaking Clippers have three new starters in their lineup. They have got Chris Paul, Chauncey Billups, Caron Butler. They have to learn not a whole new system. Vinny Del Negro isn't the most creative coach. He runs basic sets. But you have to learn how to play with three new guys in your starting five, and they are off to a much better start than the Lakers, and they've done it without Chris Paul for five games.
Yeah.
So they look to be the much more impressive team. I don't like the Lakers' depth. I don't like the way they're using Pau Gasol.
Look, here's what I know as a Laker fan. Anytime Kobe has to score 40 or whatever to win, it's a bad sign.
Yeah, terrible
sign. You have to have other players step up or you're screwed.
And the problem, too, is, and it was apparent in, you know, they're up 13 on Indiana, the last game they lost, their third in a row. And, you know, look, I love Kobe. He's a great player. He's the best player of his generation. It's very hard to argue that, and I think you'd be crazy to try. But when he gets into that mode, I'm going to shoot a lot. I'm going to win this game for us. It leads to shots taken early in the shot clock. Guys not ready to rebound because the shot was taken out of the context of the offense and runouts and easy baskets. And that's exactly what happened against Indiana.
Do you think he does that because no one else is stepping up and scoring?
Yes and no.
Like to me, sometimes I think, who's he going to throw it to that's going to do any better?
It's the self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm going to do this because you guys won't score. Well, we can't score because you're doing that. No, I'm doing it because you can't score. No, we can't score because you're doing it.
I can't figure out which way it is.
Chicken and the egg, man.
Yeah.
Right there.
What will the Pacific Division standings look like at the end of this shortened season, Mike?
Well, there's no other competitor. So it's Lakers, Clippers, or Clippers, Lakers. You know, and a lot of it will depend on whether or not a move is made. The Lakers have to make a move.
Are we going to get him?
Well, I don't know if you're going to get Dwight Howard because the Magic are good. They're really good, and it's one thing to trade your superstar. It's another thing to trade him when your team's in second place in the Eastern Conference. You know, and say, well, we had a chance to maybe win an NBA championship the first in the franchise's history, but we felt like we had to trade the centerpiece of our team. So that's the big problem the Lakers are facing with Dwight Howard in Orlando. He's a top three MVP candidate
now,
as he is every year, and you can't trade that when you are contending for a championship.
But his deal's coming up, and he wants to be traded.
His deal's coming up, and he wants to be traded, and that's the conundrum they're in. The one thing that does make sense is getting some value and getting a more natural fit for this team for one of your two pieces that you can move, Andrew Bynum or Pau Gasol. And I don't know if that means Andrew Bynum for Deron Williams, if it means Pau Gasol maybe back to Houston, who wanted him originally in that Chris Paul trade, and instead of getting back a third team, you get back a couple pieces that Houston has, like Kevin Martin and Luis Scola or Kyle Lowry. But that's just not the way the Lakers operate. They want superstars, so they're thinking of Chris Paul, Deron Williams, Dwight Howard. And that's not going to happen. I think that's a reality right now.
Matt Money Smith is the pretty one. He's the co-host of the Petros and Money Show. PetrosandMoney.com. You can hear him weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 570. Clippers, Lakers tonight, by the way. I'm glad we have this on tape. We can put this up on the website, and then we can post whatever photo or twit pic needs to come as a result of who loses bet. I think that's an excellent choice, Money. You put a lot of work into that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I did. I thought very hard about it while I was on the 5 freeway in traffic on the way home last night.
Thanks for coming in, man. We'll see how it goes.
All right, guys.
Cat Corbin gives you another chance to win that surfboard and be qualified for the trip to Australia to see Incubus. Although she said yesterday she had the SARS or something, so I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know if she's actually coming in today, but that was the plan anyway. So we'll see. Everybody's getting sick. What's going on around here, people? Kevin, what's the deal here?
Patient zero, Kevin.
Is Kevin infecting the world? Is that what's happening here?
I think I'm giving people my black death.
He's Kev-tasian.
Cat, first of all. Yeah.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
I'm going to talk about Tim Gunn, mentor from Project Runway. He is an openly gay TV personality. Was on The Revolution.
What is the name of that show?
It's on
a fashion show
today. It's a health and lifestyle program on ABC. Part of their daytime lineup when they ditched all the soap operas, they put on these lifestyle and reality shows.
Okay.
So he's on the show today, and he talks about the fact that he has been celibate. Not for 10 years.
10 years a long time.
Not for 10 years. Not for 15 years.
Higher?
29 years. He hasn't had sex in 29 years.
Is it
He should
physical?
Say to his penis, make it work. I should say that. You should get some wow factor in
Maybe
there.
Maybe it doesn't work.
Does it not?
Doesn't, apparently. It does, but he has chosen not to have sex.
Well, who does that? Why?
Apparently.
Usually other people choose it for you, or is that just in my case?
other people say no. Says the nearly three decade long dry spell was brought on by a previous relationship. He said he was impatient with my sexual performance. It was at the cusp of AIDS, and I'm happy to be healthy and alive, frankly.
Okay.
So maybe fear of HIV was the reason behind it.
Huh.
There are ways. People do.
Other people have figured it out.
It's kind of remarkable. It's almost superhuman.
It is because he's famous and rich and good looking.
Well, more importantly, for a gay guy to avoid even accidentally having sex in 29 years is remarkable.
Maybe he's one of those people that has very little sex drive, too. He must be.
Could be.
Or he's a super germaphobe, maybe.
Yeah.
Or it's too his icky. Right hand has calluses on it to you on that
for weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird
story. I can't make it work. What are you doing with that hemline? It's awful.
Can't watch that show.
And there are, I mean, I'm not exaggerating if I say there are a million guys out there who would love to be with Tim Gunn,
too.
And he's a good-looking guy, famous guy, articulate guy, smart guy. I mean, he's desirable in the other direction, but he says no, huh?
He says no.
That's crazy.
Keep that away from me, mister. That's what he says. Make it work.
Make it work.
Angelina Jolie, according to Us Weekly magazine, not getting along with Stacey Keibler.
Uh-oh.
This is bad when George Clooney and Brad Pitt are best buds, and then they all want to hang out together, and A-Jo and Stakeeb aren't really getting along.
A-Jo can just wait for a week, and Stakeeb will be gone. Don't worry.
Stakeeb?
Stakeeb. Stakeeb and A-Jo. Come on. Get with it, you guys.
Sorry, we're not
all
with
the kids are saying it.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
There's Brangelina, and then what's George and Stacey? What's their, what are they? They have a name yet? Are they Gacy? Because that seems like it might be bad.
Kleebler.
Klebler. Oh, they're Klebler?
They're
okay.
Klebler, yeah. They're JC, they're Storge. No, none of those really work.
Nope.
Keeblooney?
No.
No. We'll have to come up with something. It's awkward because they travel a bunch together because they're all, Brad and George at least, are nominated for almost every award this season. So they tend, because they're buddies, they go on a private jet together and they travel and stuff. And Us Weekly magazine says that the girls aren't getting along. Only one way to settle it. Kiddie pool and chocolate pudding. That's what I say. Just let them loose. Just strip them down and let them loose. That's my motto.
I've heard you say that many
times.
I'll
be the ref. Just in a jock.
Some goggles. And some swimming goggles.
Because I have to be in the kiddie pool with the chocolate pudding to make sure that everyone plays fair.
There's no playing fair in the pudding.
There is.
No.
There's pudding etiquette, sir. And I'm shocked that you don't know of it. Disturbed by you. Mel Gibson had jury duty this week.
How was he dismissed?
I'd like to be judged by Mel Gibson. I would not want him passing judgment on me.
Can you imagine? Don't they call you into a room and then they go through and then the judge just goes, Mel Gibson, well, go ahead, you're dismissed.
No, you have to sit there and they bring you up on the stand for the voir jour.
That's provocative.
The joie de vivre. What do they call that process when they go through?
I know what you're saying. I'm suggesting that the judge would forego that in this particular case.
The bourgeois.
I'm sure that's it.
Je veuve.
It's well, you're such an expert. Smile and me. Voir dire. I deserve it.
Voyeur?
Voir dire.
Voir dire. That's it.
There you go. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's when you look at girls through their windows, right?
Yes. Voyeur.
Oh.
Voir dire is when they assess the potential jurors. And, yeah.
I don't care.
Mel said that to the prosecuting attorney. And I think that's when they realized.
I don't care.
That's when he realized it would not be the best. The case of the people versus Jaime Abramovitz. You're dismissed, Mr. Gibson.
I don't care.
Yeah. Demi Moore sped to the hospital last night after paramedics were called into her place of residence. TMZ says substance abuse. New York Daily News says she's going to have to enter rehab after she gets out of the hospital. Her representatives say, just tired. Exhaustion.
Which doesn't make any sense, and we're not buying it anymore. No.
Demi has chosen to seek professional assistance to treat her exhaustion and improve her overall health. Well, she can start by having a sandwich. You seen her lately?
Yeah.
She's scrawny.
Way skinny. Yeah.
Scrawny and just, she's a lollipop head now. Just a big, big old noggin wobbling around a tiny little neck. Well, Kevin, you know what that's like. Today's celebrity birthdays. Terry Chimes of The Clash is 57 years old today. Actress Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 41. Mia Kirshner celebrates her 37th birthday. Alicia Keys is 31. And Michael Trevino, he plays Tyler on The Vampire Diaries. He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Make it work.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show and a brand-new Internet Roundup. We are going to talk to Dr. Drew. We are going to talk to J.B. Smoove.
The Smoover.
And I don't know this Tim Gunn story. This is a weird story. I don't know if you've seen it, but Ralph was just talking about it. Not having sex for 29 years doesn't make any sense. So we're going to do Afraid of Sex tomorrow. Perhaps that's the problem. He's afraid because of that dude that broke his heart. 29 years ago.
Maybe the dude broke his penis.
Yeah.
The way Ralph told the story about a former lover being impatient, it sounds like maybe there was some performance issue that just basically he just never wants to be in a position where that might happen to him again, it sounds like.
We're going to talk to Tom Beers, who's going to be in the studio, one of Bean's all-time favorites, and he's got a new show called They're Finding Gold Out There in That Sea.
I think it's called Bering Sea Gold is what it's called. Not They're Finding Gold Out There in That Sea. Although that would be a very catchy title. For a network.
I should. That's pretty
good. You know what else he created, Tom Beers?
1,000 Ways to Die.
Yeah, you know what else he created, Tom Beers? Yep! Storage Wars!
Oh, yay! You're so excited.
I'm so excited.
And from UFC on Fox this weekend, we're going to talk to two fighters at the same time. They're going to fight each other.
Here?
Chael Sonnen. No, they're going to fight on Fox, but we're going to talk to him here. Chael Sonnen, who is crazy, and Michael Bisping will both be on the phone at the same time talking about the fights this weekend.
No good can come from that.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.